with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks. To talk with George from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George at area code 541-665-0520. And the wildcard line is open at area code 541-665-0521. International callers may access Coast to Coast AM at 1-800-893-0903. That's 1-800-893-0903. This is the Premier Radio Network.
And good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, filling in for Art Bell tonight, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Art's got a slight twinge in his back, expected back tomorrow. And we'll use the weekend phone numbers for open lines for this show. Suppressed inventions. Technology that would benefit mankind that has been hidden away. Hidden away. Why? Next hour, my guest, Michael Brown, will startle you with just what's going on. You've heard of the word telekinesis, moving objects from one place to another without using physical contact, such as bending a spoon with your mind, as Art has tried. Well, right now, and I've always wanted to do this, and what a great opportunity, I'd like all of you to participate in a telekinesis experiment while we're doing open lines this hour. And if it works, or if it doesn't, I'll let you know. I have floating in a bowl of water as we speak some styrofoam and a piece of a paper clip on top of it for weight. It is merely floating still in the bowl of water. It is dead in the bowl of water. It's not moving at all, at all. Now, I've talked to some people who are experts in telekinesis, and they say sometimes that massive mind consciousness can move objects. So this is what I'd like you to try, and let's see if we can do it this hour. If you can move it collectively, and I wish I had Art's webcam with me right now so we could see this, but just concentrate on this little piece of styrofoam with a piece of a paper clip on top of it that is dead in the water in a bowl. It's just sitting there right in the middle. It's not moving at all. Throughout this hour, just concentrate on it, and if it moves or if it doesn't, I'll let you know, but I want to try that out. So in a moment, open lines, stories of the day. Don't touch that dial. I'm George Norrie in for Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM. So do you want to melt away excess body fat and trim those unwanted inches without strict dieting or strenuous exercise? Well, now it's possible. Introducing Ultimate Slim. It's an all-natural, scientifically designed formula to metabolize your fat into energy. Within just minutes of taking Ultimate Slim, you're going to feel more energetic. And within days, you're going to start losing inches, and your clothes will be looser. Within weeks, your waist will be thinner. I recommend Ultimate Slim because it's perfect if you want a lean, sexy body but don't have time for a lot of calorie counting or long, sweaty workouts. So what are you waiting for? Burn fat the quick and easy way. Look great and feel great with Ultimate Slim. And when you order two bottles of Ultimate Slim, you'll get a third bottle absolutely free. Now, that's a deal. And you'll also get a free bottle of the new Ultimate Slim PM Liquid formula, which is an additional $30 value. So take Ultimate Slim PM at bedtime to help burn fat while you sleep. Ultimate Slim and Ultimate Slim PM. They're the perfect solution for the ultimate body, so call now. Remember this phone number, 1-800-557-4627. 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627.
Just about every day now, people are asking me how they can improve their vision without expensive or risky laser surgery. Hi, I'm Marriott Hartley, and I've been recommending the See Clearly method for over 2 years now, and I'm here to tell you it works. People discover that in just minutes a day, they can reduce or possibly even eliminate their need for glasses or contacts. For years, the standard approach to vision care has been to buy stronger and stronger glasses as our eyes get weaker and weaker. The more we wear glasses or contacts, the more our eyes grow dependent upon them, and the weaker they become. The See Clearly method is a natural, proven program designed by doctors for you and your family to improve your vision at home safely and effectively. In minutes a day, it can help you see clearer and sharper than you ever thought possible. Call now for your free video of the See Clearly method and how it can help you see clearer and sharper. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-900-0016. That's easy. 1-800-900-0016. Call 1-800-900-0016.
Now, welcome back to Coast. I'm George Noy. I'll tell you, it's too early, but this little piece of styrofoam, it's not really moving yet, but it's kind of starting to gyrate, wiggle back and forth. I'm going to keep my eyes on that. And again, just concentrate on a little styrofoam in a bowl of water that's just there in the water. Here are some of the stories of the day. Heroes. Sometimes when there are heroes, they're well worth talking about. A 23-year-old Elsa, Illinois woman and her infant daughter are alive today thanks to the heroics of a neighbor. Listen to this story. Heather Bowser was leaving her home and had to cross a low water bridge at the end of her driveway. So picture that for a moment. Heavy rains had caused the Mill Creek, which usually meanders over the bridge, to become a roaring torrent. Bowser says that she had seen her boyfriend cross the bridge underwater before and started across. She figured, hey, he does it. I might as well do it. The current floated the car and sent it down the stream. Now, the engine died. The power windows locked, trapping her and her daughter inside. As the current pushed the car downstream, a 23-year-old man, Matt Lyle, rushed down the hill from his home across the street. With the car sinking, Lyle leaps into the water. This is what he says. She was fighting for her life. There was fear on her face. She knew she was going to go down and drown. I mean, there's no way she could get out of that vehicle. Now, with the water up to her neck, Heather crawled into the rear of the Ford Explorer and began kicking at the rear glass. And finally, the door gave, and she climbed out with her daughter to find Lyle struggling to hold on to a nearby branch. Keep in mind, the currents were unbelievable there. I kept telling him to take the baby. And then, as Lyle described it, she swung her daughter by one arm, which enabled Lyle to grab the other arm, and then he swung the child onto the bank, just tossed the baby. The baby was quickly wrapped in blankets, and passing motorists joined in the effort to free Heather Bowser from her submerged SUV. Using a ladder stretched from the bank, rescuers were able to bring Bowser to safety. Her arm, heavily bandaged from the force of her repeated blows as she frantically tried to break the windows of the car, and her daughter is okay. Now, that's a real hero for you. A real hero. In Arkansas, an 11-year-old Arkansas boy says he didn't think he'd make it out of an abandoned lead mine alive. Name is David Foster. He spent a day and a half trapped by a cave-in at the old mine in Arkansas, along with his 9-year-old brother, Zachary, their 19-year-old cousin, and their dog, Precious. And they were all rescued by dozens of workers who dug all day long using buckets in their hands. More heroes. In North Carolina, hundreds of residents of Western North Carolina have been declared dead. But they're not. And this is a big problem for them. It's because of an apparent banking error. Well, how many times has something like this happened to you, huh? You go to your bank to cash your check or to get your money, and they say to you, you're dead. It really happened. But the big problem for them is keeping them from receiving their Social Security benefits, which the Treasury Department electronically transfers into their accounts. The bank has been sending back their money. All this apparently happened because a couple banks merged, and in the transfer, the computer, or was it a person, declared that these people were deceased, and so they never got their money. Well, now they're going to try to correct the mistake. But you know what? There's a lesson here for all of us. Technology. In Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, 3 weeks after they were married, a California woman tried to get out of their marriage by killing her husband. She failed. Police say she spiked his soft drink at a fast food restaurant in Columbus, Ohio, where they are visiting. She's charged with attempted murder. Authorities say her husband apparently had a violent reaction to the drink. He drove himself and his wife to a hospital. Apparently, it had been drugged with a narcotic. There is mass confusion tonight over whether this cloning is real or not. Now, you've heard this. I talked about it on Sunday. Art talked about it in great depth last night. You've heard about this story about an Italian fertility expert who says he's got a woman that he has cloning a baby that is now 8 weeks. 8 weeks old. The woman is pregnant. Well, experts are saying, now, wait a minute here. There's something strange. The Italian fertility expert's not really saying too much. If this was happening, if this was real and reputable, this doctor would be telling everyone exactly what was going on. And that comes from Dr. Harry Griffin of the Roslin Institute in Scotland, where Dolly the sheep was created. He says it is very difficult to know if there's any substance behind these claims. The Italian fertility expert still claims very briefly that this is real. And again, we'll continue to monitor this story. A bizarre story. A 5,000-year-old meteorite unearthed in northwestern China may explain the legendary death of the man celebrated as China's earliest ancestor, the Yellow Emperor. The meteorite found near a mausoleum for the Yellow Emperor in a province may lie behind just a horrible event that apparently shattered land, according to historical records that say killed China's first emperor. And now they're beginning to think that maybe a meteorite smashed there and killed him off. Well, let's go to the phones right here on Coast to Coast. First-time caller in Canada, Enoch. Welcome to Coast. You are on the air.
Yes, hi.
Hi there.
Yeah, I've listened to Art Bell past year, actually, fairly recent listener, but I enjoy your show and enjoy you as a host.
Welcome to the program. I have listened to Art for a number of years now, myself.
Two points, rather. First is on laser beams. Yesterday you had your doctor, I forgot his name, the scientist, and also cattle mutilations. I think I may have come up with a theory that why the government doesn't want to reveal it.
All right, let's talk about the mutilations first. Go ahead.
Okay, well, this is a personal experience of mine. This would go back to 92.
All right.
I had there were sexual relations with a lady of the night, and I contracted a virus, and I couldn't find what it was. And I thought it was HIV, and I tested negative. And without getting into it and grossing people out.
I'm not interested in your encounters, but I'm more interested in the cattle mutilations.
Well, this is what it was like chlamydia, similar to chlamydia.
Come on, I don't want to get into that.
Okay, sorry. But it's it relates to cattle, to cattle mutilations. I suspect that these aliens or extraterrestrials are, in fact, creating a hybrid of humans through a vector for human genes through a virus by using cattle, because they have only a 2-chromosome difference. I've done some research on that.
Are you sure?
Yes, very sure.
Have you ever seen one of these hybrids?
I believe I am a hybrid.
All right. Now I've got to ask you some real questions, Anina. You believe you're a hybrid. How old are you now?
I'm turning 31 in June.
All right, you're 31. What do you look like? Do you look like we do? You have two eyes and two ears and things like that?
Yeah, but it's different because certain things are revealed to you, like you see through God's eyes, literally, like everything's opened up to you, like the mysteries of life and the universe and everything.
Can you read people's minds and things?
Sometimes I can read, not people's minds, but sometimes I can communicate telepathically if I try hard enough. like through it's sort of like synchronicity, and it's sometimes pretty scary. I'd be, for example, listening to the group Rush on the radio, and then turn on the TV, and all of a sudden they'd be talking about Rush Limbaugh on CNN. And
all right, yeah, but what makes you think you're a hybrid? Come on.
Well, I just know for a fact.
What have your parents told you? Uh-huh.
What'd they
say?
I didn't tell my parents, to be honest with you.
Well, don't you think that they would be able to help you? Maybe they could admit it.
That's the thing. They think anything that they think is demonic, it's of the devil. They don't want to have anything to do with it. My parents are Christians, and I consider myself a Christian, but I believe this is a great battle that's going on in Revelation when Archangel Michael casts.
Do you believe that your mother is your mother? That she's the one who gave you birth?
Yes, but who's to say? Just on CNN the other day, they were talking about how they can use a cold virus to treat cancer, to attack cancer cells. Now, who's to say that these aliens or extraterrestrials aren't using a specific virus or vector? A vector is basically, it enters the genome structure and alters your DNA.
Well, but who's to say that they are?
Well, I'm pretty sure they are. I'm definitely sure that's what's going on right now.
I think what you got to do, Enoch, is sit down with Mom and say, Mom, am I your son or not? Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Next up, wild card caller. Let's go to Albany, Oregon. Don, you're on Coast to Coast.
Good evening, George. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks.
Great talking to you again. It's been a while.
Thank you.
I was just going to say it's going to be a great show tonight.
Well,
about that hidden technology.
It appears to be extremely revealing, and I can't wait to get into the guest and find out what the heck is going on.
Oh, I know. I can't help having a feeling that a goodly part of the reason why it's being kept hidden might just be the fear of change.
How about money?
Oh, yeah. I saw there in the running, too.
When I was a kid, and I don't know if you ever saw this, but I saw a black and white movie, and it was on television. It wasn't on the big screen. It was on television about a scientist who had invented a little tiny pill that you could drop into water.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Okay.
I saw that. It was made back in the 1930s or 40s.
What was the name of that? Because
the gas tank up with water.
Yeah, and the water turned into fuel.
Yeah,
exactly.
I saw that.
What's the name of the movie?
I'll be darned if I can think of it.
I've been trying to think of it. I know it. I've been trying to think of it all day, and I just don't remember the name of that movie.
I can't think of it either. But when some big business tried to steal it from him and copy it,
he disappeared.
All they could come up with was Alka-Seltzer.
and he disappeared, though. The end of the movie, he was gone. Nobody knows what happened to him.
I know.
So that's what I want to find out, that kind of hidden technology.
I was just wondering if the fear of change might also be a goodly part of it.
Yeah, but who would be afraid of it?
This is true. Of course, there are there are people who are as afraid of change as they are of the unknown.
Well, I think all hidden technology is not because of the fear of change. I will tell you again. I think it's the fear of money. It's of loss of money. It's economics.
Yeah, greed.
What happens, for example, if they can invent power that is free energy? You've heard this on Coast to Coast before.
Yeah, I know.
Free energy. I mean, does anybody really want us to have that?
Of course not. I can't help having the feeling that if all these hidden technologies were let into the open market, we could already be a century or two ahead of where we already are.
Absolutely. I believe that. And our environment would be better off.
Oh, I know.
We'd be better off.
I know.
You know what? We'd be able to afford things a little better.
I know.
Life would be so good with...
I know.
If they would only unravel this hidden technology. Well, maybe we'll find out some of it. Thanks, Don. Appreciate your call. Let's go up next, west of the Rockies in Santa Cruz, California. Wolf, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi, Wolf.
How you doing today?
I'm doing well, thanks.
I got two quick one theory and one quick comment.
Okay.
I grew up around Glenwood Springs, Colorado, in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up on a small ranch just above Silt, Colorado. And we used to see a lot of UFOs and a lot of strange things up there.
How close were you able to witness them? Just lights in the sky?
I had one hovering 100 feet above me.
Wow.
Yeah.
You could actually make out what it was made of or what the bottom looked like?
All I saw was a lot of bright light because I was behind the house and
okay.
There was a fire pit behind the house and I was at the fire pit so I couldn't really see because of the fire next to me. So.
Okay.
And then the other theory I have is I think shadow people are more of a manifestation of our own personal fears.
You know, I've heard on Art's program that theory, and a couple Sundays on my Coast to Coast show, we were talking about shadow people, and the subject came up about stress. And it seemed like a lot of people who called in at that time, that when they saw shadow people, they were under some kind of stress.
Mm.
And, of course, last Sunday, I had a guest on who talked about the shadow people. She calls them the shadows. And she claims that they're either interdimensional or extremely extraterrestrial, and that they've been around for a very long time, and it has nothing to do with stress. If anything, they help cause stress.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen them off and on throughout my adult life, and I've been working on just through religion, confronting my own fears, and I've been seeing them since then, seeing them less and less. So,
well, they've decided to leave you alone, huh?
Yeah, because I think it was that Indian shaman that Art had on that they feed off your own inner fear. So
I believe that. I believe that. Did they have red eyes, the ones that you saw?
No, they were just black shapes or black silhouettes.
Did they look like they had clothes? There's a reason I'm asking you that.
One did. The one that I used to see a lot did.
Because some of them have been described as having cloaks, hoods, strange hats. And then there have been a lot of shadow people that have been described as merely just having, you know, human-type bodies, but, you know, the black shadows. Well, we're going to continue with open lines. And again, we're using the weekend phone numbers tonight. Art's got a slight twinge in his back, expected back tomorrow. I'm George Norrie. I'll ride this one through with you right here on Coast to Coast AM. So those of you, let's also continue thinking about that styrofoam in a bowl. It's wiggling. It's not moving yet, but it's wiggling. I'll be back in a moment at Coast to Coast AM.
You'd like to have a smile that you could be proud of. Now you can have a movie star smile quickly and affordably. Here's Dr. Schwedfeger from Village Smiles.
Have you ever wondered how to fix your chipped and worn front teeth or lighten your smile that has been yellowed by decades of coffee, tea, or smoking, or straighten your front teeth without braces? Here at Village Smiles, we not only restore that beautiful smile that you deserve, we also change people's lives. Come and see and experience our high-tech dentistry and feel the difference. At Village Smiles, your dentistry is completed with maximum comfort, 5-star service, and in as few as 2 visits. Let us create your beautiful smile as we have done for thousands of patients in the Rochester community for over 20 years.
Call Village Smiles today for a free, no obligation cosmetic consultation. The phone number is 385-2033, 385-2033, or on the web at villagesmiles.com.
A message from County Executive Jack Doyle.
The human tragedy of September 11th has created great economic uncertainty, an uncertainty no one could have ever imagined. We've read about the financial crisis in the city school district, and now the city, county, and all local municipalities will be facing similar difficult times in the near future. In Monroe County, we've held taxes flat for 10 straight years, making our community the economic engine of upstate New York. To keep that record alive will undoubtedly mean making tough decisions and working even more closely with other community leaders at every level. I will use every tool at my disposal to keep our county solvent and moving forward. And I will extend my hand to any other community leaders who share my vision to protect local jobs and to strengthen our economy. Ours has always been a resilient community, and I know we can overcome whatever challenges lie before us, but we all must pull together. Mayor Johnson, other leaders, and myself must face these challenges together and keep our community working and growing.
Paid for by the Monroe County Republican Committee.
You don't drive it. You don't need it. Why not donate it? That car sitting in your garage or driveway, why not donate it to the National Kidney Foundation and make your car a kidney car? You'll get a great feeling knowing that your used car is giving hope to someone with a life-threatening kidney disease. The donation process is simple. Just call 1-800-488-CARS and the National Kidney Foundation does the rest. They offer free towing and you may even be eligible for a tax deduction. By donating your used car to the National Kidney Foundation, you help hundreds of local kidney patients. Did you know that high blood pressure and diabetes are the leading causes of kidney failure? Take care of your kidneys. Keep your blood pressure under 140 over 90 and manage your diabetes with the help of your doctor.
Make your car a kidney car. Cars that save lives.
Make your car a kidney car. Cars that save lives. Call 1-800-488-CARS.
Morals, values, ethics, and principles. It's Dr. Laura, 9 till 11 on News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Here is WHAM's radar weather for Rochester and Western New York. Patchy cloudiness, breezy, cooler overnight with a little fog in the valleys, the low 40 in town, 30s elsewhere. Wednesday will start off with some clouds and fog, but later in the day and on again onto Thursday, plenty of sunshine and turning out very pleasant. Comfortably cool on Wednesday, the high 50 to 55 with afternoon temperatures in the 40s near Lake Ontario. Milder on Thursday, the high 60, cooler again lakeside. We'll head towards 70 on Friday. This is WHAM's Kevin Williams.
Rochester's news leader, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
Car repair doesn't have to be intimidating.
Hesitate and doing like 35 miles an hour.
In fact, it can be downright fun.
One of the things you might want to try if it's hesitating, throw the thing into reverse right away.
Okay.
And it takes the transmission.
All right. No, do I warn the guy behind me or no?
No, because chances are we're going to get him as a customer.
The WHAM Car Show with Tony and Steve Safai.
You have all these people throwing their car in reverse at 30 miles an hour now.
Saturday mornings at 10 on WHAM.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's alright.
Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks. To talk with George from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George at area code 541-665-0520. And the wildcard line is open at area code 541-665-0521. Now, here's George Norrie.
If I can't. Welcome to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Now, we're getting a lot of emails from people that say, George, tell us a little bit about the styrofoam floating in the bowl. What direction do you want us to make it move? I don't care. Just make it move. Concentrate on the bowl with the styrofoam there. I mean, it is, and I just looked at it. It's dead in the water, but it's kind of wiggling. Waving back and forth ever so slightly, like it's trying to move, but it's not. It's on the edge of the bowl, and I guess maybe you can have it move toward the middle. Why don't you do that? Why don't you concentrate on having it move toward the middle, okay? I want to let you in on a secret, by the way. One of the reasons that I get the After Dark newsletter, one of the reasons, is because when you turn the cover over on the inside, There's an article that Art Bell writes, and it's fantastic. And I know Art may be listening now, but I use that article most of the time in some of the stories that I do. I kind of like borrow it once in a while. It's a great newsletter. It's called the After Dark Newsletter. And if you are a fan of Coast to Coast, and if you are not a subscriber of the After Dark Newsletter, you are really missing a treat. And right now there's a deal going on that if you order it, they'll give you 2 free issues. So you get 14 for the price of 12. Now, you need this toll-free number. Without it, you can't order it. Here you go. 1-888-727-5505. 1-888-727-5505. And consider having some fun. The After Dark Newsletter. 1-888-727-5505. Want to return? More of your open line phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Gold. Listen to this. Influential fund manager John Murciano of Fidelity is encouraging general fund managers to look at gold equities. That's what he's telling them. He believes that tech stocks are unlikely to make the big comeback that many U.S. investors are looking for, and might even contract more. And he is overweighing his position in gold as a hedge against a volatile market. And with what's going on around the world, gold is a pretty solid investment. Hmm? Warren Buffett says investors shouldn't get their hopes up. Think about gold. Gold demand in Japan, for example, is up fourfold over this time last year. Fourfold. You want some more information about gold and how you can have your savings and retirement accounts growing, what you can do as an investor, call Lear Financial. I'm going to give you this phone number. Write it down and just keep it. Lear Financial, 1-800-474-4259. Get some information about gold. 1-800-474-4259.
I know my child.
My daughter.
My son.
She breaks her neck for every grade she gets.
He knows people
who take drugs, and it scares me to death.
But I know she doesn't do them.
How do I know?
I know because I ask.
Kids with involved parents are less likely to try drugs. So ask them who, what, where, when. Questions. They're the anti-drug. Call 1-800-788-2800 for more information. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
All auto service is not the same. That's a fact you'll recognize the minute you walk into Goodyear for Gemini Automotive Care. With Gemini, you get more than service. You get straight answers, upfront pricing, a nationwide limited warranty, and value. In fact, now through May 31st, Gemini Spring Car Care Package is just $35. That includes an oil change, tire rotation, and more. For complete details and the participating retailer nearest you, call 1-877-GEMINI-1. Gemini Automotive Care. Available at select Goodyear locations.
And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie, sitting in for Art Bell. Art expected back tomorrow. First time caller, Bill, you are on Coast to Coast. Where are you, Bill? Are you by Flint, Michigan? Is that where you are?
Oh, yeah.
Used to spend many days going up to Flint, Michigan from my hometown in Detroit a long, long time ago.
Why?
Hey, you know what? It's a neat city. And during those days, of course, you know, the automobile industry was booming along, and jobs were plentiful. What's it like now, by the way?
I don't know. I haven't lived here that long. I've only been here about 3.5 years.
Still pretty rural, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. What's on your mind?
Couple things. What happened to Ian?
Ian took a position with one of our Coast to Coast affiliates, KSDP, in Minneapolis. And has joined his career in a very beautiful city, Minneapolis.
Did he take up, I don't know, he was going to school or something, seminary or something?
I don't know. He emailed me about a month and a half ago, but he was planning to go to seminary school, and I believe he is doing that.
Oh, good.
Good for him. He always wanted to do it, and he's doing it.
Good. What I wanted to talk to you about, two things. Maybe it would be better if I waited, or maybe you could bring this on to the, your guest coming up about inventions.
All right.
Way back when, my grandfather was never on the grid. He had his own electrical power.
Where did he live? Like in a house or a farm or what?
Farm, yeah. But, I mean, he had his own power, but it only powered lights within the house.
What powered the lights?
I don't know all the details, but my dad only gave me a few before he passed away, and he said he used to have a barrel in the basement. He filled it with rainwater, and he added some kind of pill or chemical, inserted a couple electrodes, and it illuminated the DC lights in the house. Just for a few hours, though.
You know, that's almost like Edgar Cayce's invention of, I believe he had a wet cell battery, and it was very similar to that. Your grandfather might have had the exactly that kind of apparatus in
probably.
His basement.
Probably.
You know what? And they say the Egyptians had batteries
yeah.
in those days.
The other thing I want to bring up a few weeks ago, Art was talking to Major Ed Dames.
Mm-hmm.
And he had told Art he was going to mess with his studio clock. Remember that? I don't know if you recall that.
No, I didn't have a chance to hear that portion.
Well, Art told him no over and over again and not to do it. but it happened anyway, and Art said that one clock was 1 or 2 seconds off from the other.
Well, I tell you, we need clocks, and time is extremely important to us in the accuracy. So I can understand how Art was feeling if he thought that Ed Dames was going to move those hands and the seconds and everything else.
Yeah, well, coincidentally, my computer won't keep time anymore since then either.
Really?
Really. I've got to reset the clock every time I turn it on.
I should have Ed Dames concentrate on this little styrofoam that is wiggling in this bowl of water.
Definitely.
Okay, thanks for the call, Bill. Appreciate it. Next up, wild card caller. Let's go to you, Brian. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi, Brian.
Hey.
Yeah, welcome.
I had a story for you.
All right, go for it.
I was wondering if you ever heard of a...
And speak up as loudly as you can.
Okay, I was wondering if you ever heard of a new Wally.
A new what?
A new Wally.
A new Wally.
Mm-hmm.
No.
See, a long time ago, they found a cave in Mexico.
Okay.
And they started mining out of it. And all of a sudden, there was some thing in there that could shape you into different animals.
Oh, yeah?
And there was the workers that went in there, you know, they'd end up dying and all that stuff. And one guy fell into a, I don't know what they was mining out of, but one guy fell into a, some kind of drainage tunnel. And the guy came back the next day to get the body, or later on that evening, and all of his skin was missing.
Jeez. Is this for real?
Somewhere in Mexico, but it was a long time ago.
Well, was this a story you heard, or do you know firsthand?
I don't really know too much about it. I don't know if you ever heard anything about
that. No, I never heard about that one. That's a bizarre story. Thanks for your call, Brian. That one is truly bizarre. West of the Rockies in Eugene, Oregon. Jan, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Jan.
I was going to tell you that I have some new things that may be for your shows that you haven't had yet.
Like what?
Well, I have a son that's high. He's advanced. He's like, when he was born, he was always ahead of himself.
Mm-hmm.
And he fell at one time. He was walking at 7 months old, and I ran him to the hospital. He quit breathing. At 3 or 4 years old, he told me the same things that people say when they have near-death experiences. And he told me, he said, Mom, what was that thing they put in my face? And he told me everything was happening in the car and everything. Well, all his life, he's seen spirits all his life.
How old is he now, Jan? How old is he now?
He's 26 now.
And these things...
up.
They still happen to him, huh?
Still different things. And he never seen your show before. But he says things on your show and your guest. He says the same stuff and even more on different subjects. And he's never even heard your show before. He's got a wife and two kids. But when he was younger, here's what I want you to have a show on. I seen him move a bag across the floor.
With his mind?
Yes. I seen him move things up his desk. And so I know it can be done. And you talk about mine and stuff, and I want to know if there's other people out there. And if you could have a show on that, where people actually have done that, because I want to know more.
Well, you know, some people have done it, Jan. It would be a great show. You should call your son and tell him to concentrate on my little styrofoam here.
Well, he's on the boat. He's on the Great Lakes as an engineer.
Well, maybe he's thinking of it right now.
But there's one more thing I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is when you leave your body and stuff.
You could leave his body?
Yeah, when you leave your body, you know, spiritually, you leave your body and you go places and travel, you know, he had children.
Oh, sure. Astral projection.
Yes. He has brought back, and before he was about 7 years old, before he was even eight, he brought back two objects by leaving his body.
What kind of objects?
One he brought back, he said he was by the people doing martial arts and stuff. He's in a different country. And he had those little pin dolls in his hand. He was young then. And another time, we lived in Duluth, Minnesota at the time, and he was telling about being by a volcano, and he drew a volcano in school, what he's seen, and when he woke up, he had a rock in his hand from a volcano.
Jan, this sounds like a remarkable young man.
And
And you say all this started though when he fell as a little baby?
Well, he was always advanced ahead. Like he was walking at 7 months. He was just really wonderful child. I mean, he wasn't like a normal child like sisters, like most kids. But he was always advanced ahead. And I talked to him now, and he told me about when before he got married, he was he was kind of like he had a car accident he didn't tell me about until now.
Okay.
And there's a tall spirit that was with him in the car protecting him. And like I said, if I died, I'd, watch over him and everything. His mom, don't worry about that. Watch over my kids. I'm well protected. You know? So he has a protector with him, and stuff like that. And me, myself.
Let me ask you, though, Jen, do you have any of these abilities?
I've seen...
You with us? Nope. You're gone now. It's too bad. Love to find out what kind of abilities you might have had. Let's go east of the Rockies. Ruth, Colorado Springs, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. First, I have one comment.
Okay.
I want Art Bell to know that he has the sweetest laugh I've ever heard in my life. I just love listening to him laugh.
Yeah, he does. He has a great laugh.
And two requests. One of them is if we could have a remote viewing night where for the first hour that people could call in for requests and everybody take that moment and believe for it. And the second request would be... First, I want to give you a little bit of history. It won't take very long.
Okay, go ahead.
Is that we had 5 deaths in September, non-related to 911. We called it the Deadly Tuesdays. And my father has a heart condition, and I don't know if he's going to make it this year. And I don't think I could go through another death right now. And I was wondering if everybody could take a moment and believe for my daddy's heart to be healed and his knee to be healed. And for Art Bell's back to be healed. And I just wanted to tell you, with all that we've been through, I've been hit head-on by an 18-wheeler. Been hit from behind by an 18-wheeler when I was at dead stop both times.
My gosh.
My head slammed into a windshield, and 6 months later, my head went slamming into another windshield. And I was broadsided. My face slammed into a steering wheel, and we had a home burn. We both had a furnace blow up in our face, and we've had a yard fire, and I'm just tired. I just can't go through anymore, and I was just wondering if everybody could take a moment just to believe for my... can I say his first name and last initial?
You can say his first name. That would be good enough.
Okay, Earl. And I would like everybody to just take a moment to believe for his heart to be healed and his knee to be healed. And I would appreciate that so much. I'm Christian, and I believe in the power of prayer. And I also want to pray for Art Bell's back.
You got to keep believing, Ruth. I hope you do, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I do. I don't ever give up. I mean, out of all the tragedies we've had, we've had a lot of miracles happen, too, and God has always taken care of us. It's just hard to lose somebody, you know, and it's just, I don't think I could go through any more right now. And I
okay.
Just
you keep the
really
good fight,
Ruth. Really appreciate that.
Keep the good fight, and all the millions of people who just heard you right now, if some of them want to take a few moments and think about your father, Earl, and his condition, and maybe they can, you know, Art's been pretty successful on his human consciousness, the collective human consciousness that he has done. And Sunday night, by the way, to those of you in, gosh, this program generates so many emails, it is truly unbelievable. But the book I was talking about Sunday night, it was written by a fellow who's now dead. His name was Claude Bristol. Some of you missed the name. And I have emailed those of you who have gotten your emails back, as many as I could, in a day or two. But the book was called The Magic of Believing. And I was telling you that I have used that book since I heard about it on television. And Phyllis Diller, the comedian, had been given that book by the late Liberace. And apparently a number of successful people have read it. It's a small book, and it's got some techniques on the power of the mind. And to all of you, those of you, for example, who are trying to help Ruth's father, Earl, out, for example, the power of the mind, I think, is just so awesome, so incredible. And it has the ability to tap into something, some kind of energy force that is remarkable in this universe. But if you ever need, like, little techniques, you can find them, study them, and they really work. They really do. Let's go out to first-time caller in Kokomo. Buford, you're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you, George.
Sure.
About that movie you was talking about the gasoline?
Yes.
I remember the movie, not the name, but there was an article, I want to believe, in the Regis Digest many years ago about the same story, and there was a U.S. senator got involved. He had the gas tanks drained out of the vehicle, had this guy put the pills in, and afterwards he disappeared, and he even had the FBI to look for him, but he was never found.
Yeah, I think it was a true story.
It was.
Yeah.
And that it was. And may I ask you another thing?
Yes, you may.
Do you remember a show called One Step Beyond?
Oh, I love that show.
Do you remember a story about a deep hole in the ground, a little boy's dog fell in?
Yes.
And I don't remember where it happened at, and the guy, when the father came up out of the hole, he was white-headed, and he was had gone crazy.
Yeah.
This wouldn't be the same show that or the same hole that I heard Art Bell talking about some weeks ago that was somewhere out. I don't know where it's at. That's very deep.
No, I don't think that's the same one. I don't think so. I don't think that's Mel's hole. But
okay.
I don't think that's the one that was in the One Step Beyond. But you know what? Similar type situation. Weird things going on with these endless holes.
Could I tell you a little story about myself?
Yeah, I've just got a few minutes, but go
okay.
for it.
Do you know myself? I can be dreaming, and if it's a dream that I don't want to dream about, I can make myself jerk in a bed and wake up. You ever heard of people doing that?
Lucid dreaming. You have the ability to control your own dreams.
I can do it. People say I can't, but I can do it.
Do you do it all the time?
Pretty often.
Good for you. Thanks, Buford.
Appreciate it.
Let's move on to... Heather. Heather in San Francisco, California. You still with us?
Yeah, actually.
Hi, Heather.
Hi. I hope this isn't... I just wanted to mention... You had a caller a little while ago mention being... He believes he's a hybrid of some sort.
Yes.
this is crazy, but like the way he described things being revealed to him, et cetera, kind of a lot of things that he said kind of struck, sounded really kind of familiar to me, and I just I don't know why I'm.
Well, you're not a hybrid. You're not.
Doesn't feel so bad or something.
Are you a hybrid?
It was something to that effect. I know it sounds like totally nuts, but just things kind of being shown. You, I'm 29 years old, so I'm like the same age, you know, group that he's in. And I don't know if it's necessarily like, you know, I'm like half alien or something. I don't mean anything like that, but I mean just certain like in a sort of descent sort of way, like I don't know, just. I'm not sure I'm explaining him, so I'm nervous now. So.
Well, but,
it's interesting what he said. It sounds a lot like some things I've experienced that were kind of like...
Well, maybe you are, Heather. Maybe you are indeed a hybrid. You never know. You never know. You know, if you believe in alien abductions, and there are a lot of professionals who have devoted their careers to this, if you believe in that, then something could be going on. So, Heather, maybe you are a hybrid. You never know. But I think first thing to do is go to Mom and Dad and say, hey, what do you think? Just ahead now on Coast to Coast, suppressed inventions. Technology that would benefit mankind that has been hidden away. Where'd it go? We'll find out. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
A message from County Executive Jack Doyle.
Since 1996, Monroe County and Bloom has beautified our roads and highways each spring with flowers at sites all across our county. This year, I invite you to join in this fun and rewarding program recognized as a real winner by the Garden Club of America. Community-minded companies, clubs, and organizations with an interest in beautifying roadways are invited to participate. It's free, it's fun, and it's something everyone can enjoy. New sites are always available, so you can pick a location in any part of our community. And thanks to state and county road crews, getting involved is easy. That's because we'll build the site, provide the flowers, and handle the initial soil preparation. All you provide is the enthusiasm and the elbow grease to plan and maintain the site. By beautifying highways within our county, you help improve our environment and enhance the first impression travelers have of our great hometown. For more information on how to sign up, call Monroe County and Bloom at 760-7717.
And here's another Finger Lakes racing tip. The horses are at the gate. And they're off. On April 13th, Finger Lakes Racetrack launches its 41st season. What was that? What did you say? You've never enjoyed the jump up and down excitement of thoroughbred racing? This is a shame, a travesty. On the outside is a real pity. All the more reason to be here Saturday and Sunday, April 13th and 14th. You could win a weekend getaway to New York City, including tickets to the 2002 Belmont Stakes. You'll also have a chance to win $100,000 just for showing up. Free admission, free parking, freedom from an ordinary afternoon. The Finger Lakes season opener. You have to get out more.
Finger Lakes Racetrack. You bet it's fun. Route 96 in Farmington. Gates open 11:30 a.m. Post time 12:50 p.m. Trip courtesy of Ballantine RV and Marine.
News, weather, sports, and more. Online at wham1180.com. This is News Radio 1180 WHAM Rochester.
A Clear Channel radio station.
CBS News. I'm Jim Shenevy. A suspected suicide bomb attack on a bus near the northern Israeli port city of Haifa has left at least 8 people dead, many more injured. CBS News correspondent Robert Berger.
An Israeli civilian bus was traveling in northern Israel when an explosion blew off a section of the roof. Police say an Arab boarded the bus strapped with explosives and a short time later blew himself up. Witnesses described a scene of horror, bodies and body parts inside the bus. Israeli political sources say the attack is proof that Israel's military offensive in the West Bank is justified and must continue. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
New York attorney Lynn Stewart has spent the past few years defending convicted terrorist Sheikh Omar Abdel Rahman. Now she's a defendant. Stewart accused of helping Rahman direct a global terror group from his prison cell. CBS News legal consultant Andrew Cohen.
If these allegations are true, I think the case represents the exception rather than the rule about how lawyers and their clients interact in prison. And clearly the feds have been warning attorneys and everyone else that they would use every law at their disposal to go after anyone for virtually anything relating to terrorism.
Stewart faces up to 40 years in prison if convicted. An insider in the Arthur Anderson Enron case apparently will cooperate with prosecutors. Former senior Anderson auditor David Duncan has pleaded guilty to obstruction of justice charges. Former federal prosecutor Robert Mintz says it's a crack in Anderson's armor.
Anderson's best defense was the presentation of a unified front, categorically denying any intentional wrongdoing by any of its partners or employees. For the government, the Duncan plea defection represents the first thread in the unraveling of this defense.
Experts say Duncan will likely identify others inside Anderson and Enron who might cooperate with the government. Jury deliberations resume in the morning in the corruption trial of Ohio Congressman James Traficant. Jurors deliberating for 3 hours on Monday and then 9 hours Tuesday without reaching a verdict. Traficant defended himself in the trial, arguing that he is a victim of a government vendetta. Los Angeles looking for a new police chief after a civilian commission declined to give Bernard Parks a second five-year term. Alex Sullivan of CBS radio station KNX.
Commission President Rick Caruso pointed to the rising rate of violent crime and fewer arrests being made.
Chief Parks, who has given 37 years to the police department, we offer a deep and abiding thank you. An appreciation for a past that belongs to an honored tradition. Today we continue moving forward. There will not be backsliding from the reform and advances made to date.
Next, under the city charter, the council 10 votes can assert jurisdiction over the police commission decision. Chief Parks makes clear he'll pursue that avenue. Alex Sullivan, CBS News, Los Angeles.
This is CBS News.
Now that winter is over, highway repair crews will be out fixing the ruts and potholes left behind by cooler weather. Could you use a repair crew for the ruts in your love life? Then it's time you called the Matchlink Singles Network. Just call 1-888-50-MATCH and simply tell us about yourself and the kind of person you're looking for, and you'll be back on the road and headed for love in no time. With the Matchlink Singles Network, you can listen to your match's voice before you actually meet. And as we all know, you can tell a lot about a person simply by the way they speak. That's the secret to our system. Just check your voicemail box at least twice a week, and you'll be on your way to finding new friendships, romance, and more. It's safe, confidential, and new singles are signing up every day. So say goodbye to that singles rut and hello to someone special. Call 1-888-50-MATCH. That's 1-888-50-MATCH. Your enrollment call is free. The Matchlink Singles Network. Part of the Matchlink system. The better way to meet your match.
The latest in the civil suit filed by a suburban Seattle teenager against the grade school teacher with whom he had a six-year affair. Heather Bosch of CBS radio affiliate KIRO.
Mary Kay Letourneau influenced what her former student, Billy Fualau, told authorities about their relationship in the past. She even told him from her jail cell what to say. That's what Fualau's attorney, Lori Guzzo, says.
This victimization did not cease with the last sexual act.
Meantime, in the courtroom, Highline School District Attorney Mike Patterson and tried to prove Letourneau and Fualau hid their intense relationship. He asked Fualau,
Still carry a picture of Mary in your wallet?
Yes.
Letourneau and Fualau have two children. Heather Bosch for CBS News, Kent, Washington.
Health Secretary Tommy Thompson urging doctors and pharmacists to use electronic prescription systems instead of the old-fashioned doctor-written forms. He says computer-generated prescriptions would significantly reduce medical mistakes caused by the doctor's bad handwriting. Jim Shenavy, CBS News.
Here is WHAM's radar weather for Rochester and Western New York. Patchy cloudiness, breezy, cooler overnight with a little fog in the valleys, the low 40 in town, 30s elsewhere. Wednesday will start off with some clouds and fog, but later in the day and on again onto Thursday, plenty of sunshine and turning out very pleasant. Comfortably cool on Wednesday, the high 50 to 55 with afternoon temperatures in the 40s near Lake Ontario. Milder on Thursday, the high 60, cooler again lakeside. We'll head towards 70 on Friday. This is WHAM's Kevin Williams.
Only one radio station in Rochester spans the decades of rock. 95.1 The Nerve rocks. from the founding fathers to the new artists, Pink Floyd, Creed, Led Zeppelin, Pearl Jam, AC/DC, Metallica, Guns N' Roses, Godsmack, Aerosmith, Stone Temple Pilots, Black Sabbath, Stained, and more. When you want pure, quality rock and roll, the only radio station in Rochester that consistently delivers is 95.1. The Nerve Rocks.
In 1973, tonight's guest, Mike Brown, was walking past a supermarket checkout stand, like we all do, and saw a copy of a national tabloid with an article titled, Suppressed Inventions and How They Cost Americans Billions. Well, guess what? He bought a copy, took it home, read it. He then enrolled in a power mechanics class at a college in Kentucky. The article featured a photo of the fish carburetor. And by 1979, he was able to write Brown's Alcohol Motor Fuel Cookbook, a how-to book describing ways to turn grain into alcohol and modify carburetors to run on. The program tonight, Suppressed Inventions, and Why Are They Being Suppressed? That's next on Coast to Coast AM. I want you to know now, the phone lines for the number I'm going to give you will be open from 9 to 5 o'clock Pacific time. Get ready for this. The CC Radio Plus. What a remarkable radio. I have one. And I have never heard radio sound this way before. AM, FM. You can even get television audio through this radio. The CC Radio Plus and Weather Radio 2 with an alarm. It's got an alert on it. $159.95, and the price includes U.S. shipping. The CC Radio Plus will make a world of difference to your news, information, and sports listening. It receives and holds a signal better than any other radio, and listening is a delight because the voices sound really clear. A digital clock with an alarm, a lighted dial, a sleep timer, a one-button station memory, and a power cord is included, or it plays for over 250 hours on four D-size batteries. You can bring it with you wherever you go. You can learn more by requesting the free C. Crane catalog. And this is a great catalog to browse through. The CC Radio Plus. And also dozens of other useful and innovative items you will see in this free C. Crane catalog. Why don't you give them a call? 800-522-8863. The number again for a free catalog is 800-522-8863. And also, you can go to the web and see the best AM radio on the web at ccradio.com.
Do you want to melt away excess body fat and trim those unwanted inches without strict dieting or strenuous exercise? Now it is possible. Introducing Ultimate Slim, the all-natural, scientifically designed formula to metabolize your fat into energy. Within minutes of taking Ultimate Slim, you're going to feel more energetic. Within days, you're going to start losing inches and your clothes will be looser. Within weeks, your waist will be thinner. I recommend Ultimate Slim because it's perfect if you want a lean, sexy body but don't have time for a lot of calories. calorie counting or long, sweaty workouts, what are you waiting for? Burn fat the quick and easy way. Look great, feel great with Ultimate Slim. And when you order two bottles of Ultimate Slim, you'll get a third bottle absolutely free. And by the way, now you're going to get a free bottle of new Ultimate Slim PM liquid formula, an additional $30 value. Take Ultimate Slim PM at bedtime to help burn fat while you sleep. Ultimate Slim and Ultimate Slim PM, they're the perfect solution for the ultimate body. So call now, 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627. One more time, 1-800-557-4627.
Welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Since I was a little kid, I have always been amazed at inventions. I've always wondered, how can people think about things like this? Gosh, I wish I could do that. How can they create these things in their mind, and then they turn them into a product, and then they help mankind? But what about inventions that have been made that have been suppressed? Inventions that really never get to the marketplace. And why? My guest is Mike Brown. Fascinating person. And I really would like all of you to, if you have a moment, to go to Art Bell's website at artbell.com and click on tonight's guest. And you can get some information on what we're about to talk about tonight. Because it includes suppressed information. It also includes some fascinating work that he has done with information from Nikola Tesla. You know that name if you've listened to Coast. Mike, welcome to the program. Good to have you with us, Mike Brown.
Well, thanks for having me, George.
Always my pleasure. Give me your definition, first of all, of suppressed inventions. Exactly what does that mean?
Well, what that means is that's an invention that should have been put in production, that should have benefited mankind, all that sort of thing. But somebody had an axe to grind and made sure that it didn't get where it was supposed to go.
Could that axe include money? Maybe they didn't want to lose money, so they decided, let's kind of bury this invention?
It's always the money.
That's what I thought. What is out there that you know of that should be in the marketplace right now?
Well, do you want to start with Nikola Tesla?
Absolutely.
Okay. Here's what should be out there. Nikola Tesla, as a lot of your listeners know, is literally the man who invented the 20th century. He was doing things 100 years ago that nobody else had even thought of. He's the one who gave us the power station at Niagara Falls. I think it produced something like 10 million horsepower in the days when 5 or 10 horsepower was considered a whole lot.
Mm.
And his system that he gave us that we still have today, he took out about 40 patents on. He signed agreements with J. Pierpont Morgan. And J. Pierpont Morgan and his bunch, they basically gave us the power system we have today through Tesla. And it's actually kind of a cumbersome system because Tesla, not too many years later, had come up with an idea to just literally pull electrical energy out of the atmosphere. And when I first heard of this, I thought, you know, how's he going to do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and I was talking to a friend of mine once. I have an engineer that I work with. I have worked with for about the last 20 years. He's a good friend of mine. And he just made an offhand remark one day. He said, nobody knew more about capacitors than Nikola Tesla. And then I got to thinking about the tower that he built on Long Island, great big steel tower. And I thought, wait a minute. I think I know what he was going to do, and so I got a whole bunch of books on it. And I think what he was going to do, I'm about 99.9% convinced of this, is what Tesla was planning on doing is simply using this steel tower of his and possibly putting up similar towers all over the country, basically to attract lightning, like a lightning rod.
Lightning? Why?
Well, because the average lightning bolt has a billion volts of electricity in it, 3,000 amps. It's about 18,000 degrees Fahrenheit. In other words, we're talking enough power, if you could extract all of it out of a single lightning bolt, which obviously you're not going to be able to do, light up the city of Chicago for 3 months.
Wow, this sounds like an old Frankenstein movie, Michael.
It does, doesn't it? And the more I looked into it, I mean, I got everything I could read on capacitors, even when they were called condensers. I went all the way back into the works of Joseph Priestley. And the more I looked at it, I thought, you know, this is what he had to be doing, because it's so simple that if you build a tabletop model, which I'm in the process of doing right now, at that level, it's practically a no-brainer. All you have to do is provide static electricity. You use that through a little model lightning rod to charge a capacitor, which is much lighter and will hold a tremendous amount of electricity, depending on the size of it. And then you use that, you basically just take the power out of the capacitor to power whatever it is you're going to want to power. And I'm looking at this whole thing and thinking, you know, this is too simple. And, of course, here's the funny part. One of the engineers that I work with, when my buddy Larry, the guy I was just telling you about, said, look, this is what Brown wants to do. And this guy had a cow. He says, you can't do that. It'll cost $1 million. You'll kill somebody. But the one thing he didn't say was it wouldn't work. So that's basically what Tesla was planning on doing. Now, here's the big difference between a tabletop model and actually going out basically in the barnyard and trying to do it.
Sure. And when you say tabletop, I mean literally something that small that will fit right on the top of a table. That's it?
That is correct.
All right.
Yeah, but see, now that's only what you call a pilot plant, because what I have to do is, quite frankly, I have to have a lightning simulator. In other words, the lightning simulator, I'm going to have to plug into a wall socket.
Well, let me ask you something about that and what Tesla was working on.
Sure.
The capacitor itself, how long can a capacitor store electrical energy?
Well, if you don't pull it out, sometimes for years. In fact, one of the things that you learn if you work in a junkyard is that you don't wear a wristwatch with a metal band, because you can get under a car that has been inoperative for months or even years, and if you hit the wrong capacitor underneath that vehicle, it'll weld the wristband to your wrist.
I didn't know that. You know, know that at all.
Well, I'll give you an example of a capacitor that holds something for years. How about the Ark of the Covenant?
Now, you got to explain that one to me.
Okay, well, let's take one thing at a time here. If you go to, I believe it's 2 Samuel, there's a fellow named Uzzah, and he's driving this Ark of the Covenant on an ox cart, and he turns around and puts his hand on it to steady it, and it electrocutes him. That's not the word they used in the Bible, because they said, you know, God was angry and smote him and so forth. But anybody who's read the descriptions of the construction of this device can pretty well see that it held electrical energy. Well, that particular device apparently held it literally for generations until, I guess they put it back in a warehouse like in the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark. And we're talking sometime after the time of Solomon.
Well, and, you know, and maybe one day we will find it.
Well, you know, the part of the irony is there's directions on how to build it starting right in Exodus 25. I mean, it's kind of garbled in English.
So you think the Ark, though, was a capacitor?
It was a lot more than that. If you read the actual description of it and what it was doing, a capacitor only stores energy. Now, this thing, they also put the law in it, and we're not talking just the two tablets Moses came down with the Ten Commandments.
Right.
When Hezekiah dug it out of the warehouse centuries later, it had all the law, statutes, and judgments of the five books, first beginning five books of the Old Testament. There's something like 613 of them.
All right, but if this was a capacitor, Michael, what was it used for? I guess we're talking about the first suppressed invention, basically.
Well, I don't know if it was suppressed or not. I think they just lost it around 585 B.C. But all the indicators are that this thing, whatever it was a whole lot more than just a capacitor. I mean, for example, you read about the two cherubims on it, and you go to the Internet and you see people with descriptions of little babies with wings and that sort of thing.
Sure.
But if you go to Ezekiel 10, cherubims had wheels, and some of them were rather large. So apparently since the word in the Strong's Concordance, they tell you it's of uncertain derivation. Apparently it was an aircraft of some sort, though it had a different function on the Ark of the Covenant itself. The Ark of the Covenant is a wooden box. The word ark means box, and apparently they had layers of wood and gold. Well, you'd look at it that and think, well, that's a capacitor, but not really. It's more of a capacitor case.
Well, let me ask you, Mike. If you were able to look at the ark today, if they found it,
mm-hmm.
and you looked at it, what do you think you'd say immediately about it?
Not a whole lot, because the word ark, like I said, simply means box. I'd have to see what was inside it. See, that's the difference. In other words, you can see a lot of things that are boxes.
Sure.
But how they work is determined by the circuitry inside. And that's what I've been trying to puzzle out, because if that was a capacitor in itself, doesn't make sense, because wood is really not a dielectric.
Well, but let me ask you,
sure.
What do they need a capacitor for that long ago?
Well, okay, now that's an interesting question, because that long ago, we have this attitude in today's society that those people were really primitive.
Sure.
But in a lot of ways, they were light years ahead of us.
Well, and they might have been.
Well,
they might have been.
Well, for example, look at their dietary laws. If you go back to Leviticus 11, there are scientific reasons for those laws, and everybody today has just relegated them to just religiousness.
Okay, but what do you think this was used for?
Probably, and this is going to sound a little crazy, interplanetary communication, because a capacitor that big, something that big, would do more than just store energy. I mean, you could store enough energy in a device that big, or enough information. And here's something interesting to think about. What if that was an electrical device to store information? That would take it past the mere capacitor
sure.
class, and possibly we're looking at something from another civilization that could have also been a computer.
That might have been just left behind?
I don't know if it was just left behind, because in Exodus 25, they're giving the descriptions or the directions on how to build this thing, along with a whole lot of other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And here's something that I stumbled across years ago. Actually, it wasn't even me. It was my father-in-law pointed it out. I was reading Exodus, and all these people had left Egypt with all this bronze and everything else. And I'm thinking, geez, what are they building, a power station? So I called my father-in-law, who's also a preacher, and I asked him. He said, well, let me look at it, Mike. And called me back a couple days later. He said, no, go to the last paragraph of Exodus 40, then compare it to Exodus 19. Crazy as it sounds, they may have been building a flying machine. Because the thing, actually, if you read Exodus 40 carefully, the last paragraph, garbled as it is in English, this thing was actually getting off the ground.
Well, you know, it just amazes me, Mike, how technology could be out there, could be available to people. And that's just, of course, one example. And your search continues on that. And by all means, keep us abreast on that one. Now, let's get back to Tesla, if we can, because the guy was, without question, a genius. And during his day, did people recognize his genius for what it was?
Oh, absolutely. He was published in all sorts of magazines. Of course, when he would try to write how-to stuff, they'd come back saying, we want, sensationalism and that sort of thing. Now, Nikola Tesla was quite well known at the beginning of the 20th century, and he didn't really kind of fade into obscurity until J. Pierpont Morgan and that bunch shut him down. And what happened there is that when Tesla came up with this idea for literally pulling energy out of lightning bolts, that he went to J. Pierpont Morgan. Now, Morgan was the one who'd financed him to begin with. And when he went to Morgan, he said, look, I need to get a $150,000 advance here. And, of course, this was around 1910. And he says, I need to build this new system. Well, Morgan, of course, saw that as soon as Tesla perfected this new system,
uh-huh.
then Morgan and Company would literally be in the buggy whip
uh-huh.
business compared to Model Ts. So what he did was he tied Tesla up with a contract so that when Tesla ran out of money, which Morgan knew he would, and for some reason, Tesla never built a pilot plant. Everything he did, he would just start right off, you know, on the largest scale you could imagine. And so when he went back to Morgan, Morgan said, no, you don't get any more money, and no, you can't go any further because I've got you tied up with this contract.
Wow.
And so that was the end of it. I mean, for the last approximately 90 years, we've been dealing with a power system that's literally been obsolete, and that includes the nuclear power plants.
What do you think would be going on today had Tesla been been allowed to perfect that kind of system?
Well, you wouldn't have these utility monopolies that we have now, and power would obviously be a lot cheaper, and in some cases, I suspect if you had a big enough farm, wouldn't cost you anything.
What if you didn't get hit by lightning? Or is that a given? It's always going to get hit. These towers would have.
Well, that's the whole idea. In other words, you have to get the energy from someplace. And so you remember, Tesla was the first one to harness the forces of nature on a scale never before seen, like at Niagara Falls. And what he was planning on doing, from everything that I can discern from all the time I've spent trying to figure out, you know, how this guy thought, well, a lightning bolt, a single lightning bolt, and bear in mind, the average thunderstorm, there's 2,000 of them at a time going on this planet at any given minute.
Well, that's a lot.
Oh, tell me about
that's
it.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and the average thunderstorm is going to literally spit out a bolt of lightning every 20 seconds. In other words, we have a whole planet full of energy, and nobody's tapping it. We're just trying to stay out of the way.
How tall were these towers?
Well, he only built the one in Long Island, and I don't know exactly how tall it was. I've only seen photographs of it.
Is it still there?
I don't think so. I think they took it down. Real estate's basically too dear there in New York to let something like that stand around.
Well, the model that you're building, is that based on Tesla's design?
Yes, it is. What I'm doing, and like I said, the model that I'm doing is very, very simple, because one of the problems that we're going to have in this engineer that had the cow over, you know, this whole idea, he already figured out a way to get the power without frying the system itself, because on a tabletop model, you can keep something very, very simple. You don't have to use much power, but you put one of these things out in the backyard, and you attract a four-wheel lightning bolt, you literally got more energy and power than you can deal with. For example...
Well, what are you going to use, though, to power up this system you're working on?
Oh, well, for a tabletop model, I have to use a lightning simulator. I either have to use a Tesla coil or a Van de Graaff generator or something like that.
Okay, so you're not going to run outside and try to get a real bolt to hit it.
Well, the problem is, if I did that, I don't think I'd do it more than once.
I'm not so sure you or it would be around after that.
That's the whole idea.
We are talking about suppressed inventions, and there are many out there. Many out there. We're going to talk a little bit more about Tesla and some of the effects of electromagnetic waves and what that all means. I find this to be absolutely fascinating. Just absolutely fascinating. And also, let's find out a little bit more about this fish carburetor. Whatever happened to that thing? I'm George Norrie, and you are listening to Coast to Coast AM.
And about you, there's no other. We'll go walking out while others shout across the
Walker here on behalf of Sage Rudding and Company. Financial success is not driven by the performance of investments alone, but also in tandem with investment behavior. It's human nature itself, along with the daily bombardment of short-term financial news, which renders most individuals incapable of succeeding on their own. Procrastination, wishful thinking, the inability to budget,
overconfidence giving way to panic and vice versa. These and dozens of other basic human instincts doom the individual to make poor investment decisions. Take control of your financial future with the help of not one, but a team of financial professionals. Sage Ruddy and Company, your local investment and planning firm, has been helping Rochesterians reach their financial goals for 86 years. Call Sage Ruddy at 232-3760 or visit their website to learn more at sageruddy.com. Sage Ruddy and Company, members NASD and SIPC.
Celebrating the grand opening of another Vision Auto Group store. At Vision Hyundai, new 2002 Accents from $8,095 or just $139 a month. New 2002 Elantras from $11,095 or just $189 a month. New Santa Fe's from $17,995 or just $289 a month. Plus over 150 used cars, all Carfax certified, from just $2,995. With a huge selection of new Hyundais and over 150 used cars in stock, you don't have to leave Rochester to get a great, no-pressure deal on a new Hyundai or used car. Hurry down to Vision Hyundai, 2525 West Henrietta Road, and let your vision put you behind the wheel for less. Open Sundays, noon till 3. Prices include all incentives and discounts. Prior sales excluded. 8-year credit. Accents and Elantra 72 months at 7.5%. Santa Fe 84 months at 8.75% on approved credit. Tax, license, and fees collected on delivery.
Your vision to drive. Your
Hyundai, 2525 West Henrietta Road.
Business owners and managers.
When you need to take your business from here to there,
we'll get it there faster.
Faster. At Frontier, we have the high-speed internet services that today's businesses demand.
Now you can save more than $500 on Frontier SDSL, the lightning-fast symmetrical DSL service that lets you upload and download files at the same high speed.
The same high speed. Perfect for sending and receiving large graphic and audio files.
Perfect
for
video conferencing,
remote site monitoring,
and the transfer of large secure files across town or across the country.
Frontier SDSL gives your business the power it needs.
Starting at less than $150 a month, this technology works with your existing dedicated phone line.
This technology gives your business the power it needs and lets you upgrade speeds with just a phone call.
Call 777-DATA.
That's 777-3282.
Or go online at frontiersdsl.com to learn how you can save more than $500 with a limited time offer on equipment and installation.
In business, time is money.
Speed is success. Get both with Frontier SDSL.
The news you need. The information that's critical. Hear it first. Fast and factual. News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Here is WHAM's radar weather for Rochester and Western New York. Patchy cloudiness, breezy, cooler overnight with a little fog in the valley. It's a low of 40 in town, 30s elsewhere. Wednesday will start off with some clouds and fog, but later in the day and on again onto Thursday, plenty of sunshine and turning out very pleasant. Comfortably cool on Wednesday, the high 50 to 55 with afternoon temperatures in the 40s near Lake Ontario. Milder on Thursday, the high 60, cooler again lakeside. We'll head towards 70 on Friday. This is WHAM's Kevin Williams.
Rochester's news leader, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
This is the final straw.
You're out of your freaking mind.
All right, I'll be quiet.
Stoop.
You can't see it.
I've had it.
Eric Dickerson is out.
I'm not dealing with that subject again.
You're a complete jackass.
You can't touch it.
It was warped or sick.
I did get my shot, so I should be okay.
Idiotic.
But you sure can feel it.
Interrupting me. They tell the old witch it's her daughter who's getting pregnant.
The one radio station you can feel.
Don't let your babies grow up to be defense lawyers.
News Radio 1180.
Get a grip.
WHAM.
continues on Premier Radio Networks.
Well, my styrofoam experiment actually made a little tiny circle in the bowl of water. Now, that's incredible. A very small little circle. It moved about 10 minutes ago, and now it has stopped. We're going to have to look into that. We'll do more of that. I'm also being inundated with emails about electromagnetic energy and power. So when we return, I shall ask my guest, Michael Brown, a little about that as well on Coast to Coast AM. So how would you like to feel 10 years younger in just 10 weeks? Now there's proof that the effects of aging can be slowed down and even reversed with HGH human growth hormone. For some time now, you've heard Art talk about the incredible age-reversing benefits of HGH. And according to thousands of articles, higher HGH levels can help you look and feel younger. And that's why he takes Ultimate HGH, a natural formula to help boost his body's own production of HGH, designed from the research in the book Hormone of Youth by Dr. Klatz. If your goal is to help improve energy and stamina, lose unwanted fat, diminish wrinkles, enhance memory, immune function, and vision, then Ultimate HGH is for you. And when you order two bottles of Ultimate HGH, you'll get the third absolutely free. And that's a $33 a month deal. This is a tremendous savings off the typical $100 a month for comparable products. Plus, you'll receive the amazing book, Hormones of Youth, by Dr. Klatz. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. So call now at 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627. Again, 1-800-557-4627.
Spring is in the air, and so are the savings. Right now, you can save on a spring car care package at Gemini. For just $35, you'll get an oil change, complete tire rotation, brake evaluation, battery inspection, and more. You'll also find low prices on a wide selection of popular tires, including Goodyear. May 31st is your last chance to get Gemini's spring car care package. Dial 1-877-GEMINI-1 for complete details and the participating retailer nearest you. Then zip into Gemini and save.
Millions of Americans who do their taxes on their computers will be getting more rest this tax season thanks to IRS e-file. Instead of printing out their tax returns and running out to the mailbox in the middle of the night, they'll file their taxes electronically. It's accurate, secure, and you get your refund in half the time. You can even sign electronically. So this tax season, delete the paperwork and hit send with IRS e-file. For details, visit irs.gov. Now, get some sleep.
Welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie with my guest Michael Brown. We're talking about suppressed inventions and other things. Michael, I'm getting a lot of emails, and I want to talk with you about the fish carburetor, but I'm getting a lot of emails from people about electromagnetic power and energy. And I want you to help me a little bit with this. Is this something that's been suppressed, or is it readily available with today's technology?
Well, it's readily available. All generators work on electromagnetic energy.
But what's the secret to it then? I mean, why are so many people fascinated by it or wanting to know why it's not being used on a regular basis?
Well, actually, if you're talking electromagnetic energy, because let's just get real simple here. If you move a copper wire through a magnetic field past a magnet, you're going to get electricity. And that's in common use. It has been for literally over 100 years. Now, are we referring to it for the production of power to run machines or how it affects people?
I think how it affects people, because that's always the bottom line, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Well, that's a completely different kettle of fish here. Let's go back to 1898 when Nikola Tesla gave an address to the Electrotherapeutic Association in Buffalo, New York.
Okay.
And he outlined a circuit that is in a collection of books called Nikola Tesla Lectures, Patents, Articles. And now let's fast forward to 1935. A fellow named Georges Lakowski, who was also an electrical engineer, And Lakovsky came up with a theory that I think basically kind of lagged Tesla by about 40 years. The difference is Lakovsky wrote a book on it titled The Secret of Life. Tesla wasn't real big on writing books. In fact, I don't think he ever wrote anything except magazine articles. And Lakovsky's theory was that every cell for every living organism has a certain oscillating frequency. And when the cell falls below that frequency, it becomes diseased or sick or whatever you want to call it. And it either gets worse and dies or it has to recover. And Lakovsky's theory in his book is that if you ran high-frequency radio waves through the cell, then the RNA-DNA complex, which is what we call it now, he just called it a spiral helix or coil, if the radio waves hit that coil, it would cause, the coil would actually pick up the frequency and bring the cell back up to its oscillating frequency.
I'm with you.
Okay, big problem was he couldn't get his machine to work. And so he called his friend Nikola Tesla and said, would you help me with this? Tesla said, yes, I will. So about 1935, give or take a year, Lakovsky traveled from Paris to New York to get Tesla to help him with it. Well, Tesla straightened things out, and his machine was working. Now, here's what happened next. I had an old man down in Arizona taught me how to build these things.
All right.
He was taught by Nikola Tesla. And when I went back and I took it to the electrical engineer in Salt Lake City who builds these things for me, we sell, I think, a magnificent total of about five of them a year on a good year. We only sell them for experimental purposes.
I was going to say, who would buy them, right?
People who want to experiment.
All right.
So we're not going to make medical claims of this thing. And so at the time, basically, I was kind of an electronic ignoramus. I mean, imagine somebody like Michio Kaku trying to teach physics to an auto mechanic.
Yeah.
Well, the guy who personally knew Nikola Tesla, that's the way he had to teach me to build these things. One part at a time. He couldn't hand me a schematic because I didn't know how to read one.
You didn't know. You knew just enough to be dangerous.
Precisely.
Okay.
So I take all my instructions. I mean, I had pages and pages and pages of notes. This poor guy, he spent 4 hours a day with me for a week and a half, literally showing me how to build one of these things because, in effect, it's a radio transmitter. And so I took all my notes to this electrical engineer, who is also a friend of mine, out of Utah. And I said, look, you want to build these things? And he looks at my notes and says, yeah. I says, you know, you've got enough notes here. I can do this. So things went swimmingly for a while. And I one day I was looking at this thing, this 1898 lecture, and the circuit, and I'm thinking, you know what? I need a Tesla gizmo because there's a lot of Tesla people out there. All right?
Sure.
So I took this particular book and the circuit from the 1898 address in Buffalo, New York, to my electrical engineer. I said, here, can you build this? And he looked at it. He looked at me. He says, Brown, that's the circuit we're already building. And I thought, wait a minute. I know what Nikola Tesla did. Instead of fixing Lakovsky's circuit, he just put in his own and let Lakovsky take credit for it. But we'll never know for sure.
No, never will. And you say it was a radio transmitter?
It is, yeah. But it doesn't have the sidebands that you transmit information on. See, a multiple wave oscillator, what it does is it runs frequencies through the human body, and you can prove that it's actually doing this by if you sit about 4 inches away from the antenna, you can take a neon or argon bulb, give it to someone else, and as it's broadcasting, in other words, you're 4 inches away from this thing, it's sending radio waves through your body, you can take a neon or argon bulb, have someone else touch it to your skin, and the bulb will light up. That's how much voltage is going through you.
You know, with Lakovsky's invention that never was, can you say that magnets are pretty close to that now? Because I see people wearing magnets around their ankles and their arms, and, you know, if they have a sore something, they put a magnet on them.
I don't think it does the same thing. In fact, quite frankly, I poo-pooed the magnets for a while. And then my wife had a sore hip, and she put a magnet on it. Seemed to help. I thought, you know, there has to be a scientific reason for this.
Right.
Now, this is pure speculation.
See, I would think it would be very close to what you were just talking about.
Well, I think what the magnets actually do, because I've had experiences like this with the multiple wave oscillator, but I think what the magnets do is as the iron in your bloodstream passes the magnet, I think it realigns. Of course, this is just speculation at this point.
Well, you might be right. Earlier, I was talking about the article that you had stumbled across in a tabloid featuring the photo of the fish carburetor.
Right.
What the heck is that?
Okay. The fish carburetor was a carburetor designed by a guy named John Robert Fish Sr. The first design he perfected around 1929. Now, Fish was a contract inventor. You don't hear about people like this these days because all the big companies have pretty much got them stuck back in their labs.
Mm-hmm.
But back around 1919 and forward, if you had a problem and you needed something invented, this guy had invented for you. And he had come up with a way, he thought, to cure polio, but nobody was interested in the machine that he'd built. So he figured, well, okay, he's going to build a carburetor because everybody needs one.
Uh-huh.
And he thought about it so much, and he worked at it for so long, that one night he even dreamed he was a carburetor.
Maybe that's the way to do it.
Yeah. So, but here's the trick to the fish carburetor. He had Ford Motor Company, and they tested two of them in 1933.
Okay.
And they said, yeah, we'll adopt this, but you have to have a worldwide service network. This guy was working out of a garage in Agawam, Massachusetts. So I thought, okay, I'll go home, I'll produce it myself. So just about the time he gets ready to produce it, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, and the War Productions Board stopped every
exactly.
new project.
Everything was stopped.
Right. So by 1947, he actually was in production, and the post office was repeatedly sending his orders back. People were sending him money for carburetors, stamped fraudulent. And between 1947 and 1954, he had several court cases with the post office. He finally beat them once and for all. But the way this carburetor works, imagine, if you would, that you have a tube. And in that tube, you have a silver dollar. Okay, that's your butterfly valve. Now, on a standard carburetor, the air and fuel hitting that silver dollar or that butterfly valve, because the more you open it, the more air you're going to get in, and consequently,
right.
the more fuel, faster the car goes. Well, it splashes and recondenses. And before you get out of the idle circuit, which you had on standard carburetors, of course, everybody has fuel injection mm-hmm. now, the fuel literally just dripped into the engine. In fact, your octane ratings are all based on a defect in the idle circuit of a standard carburetor. They're like at 600 and 900 RPM. And in the days when everybody was running carburetors, you didn't get out of the idle circuit until you hit what's called the idle crossover at about 28 miles an hour. Now, here was the difference with the fish carburetor. A fish carburetor had an arm that moved in the float chamber, just moved back and forth along a groove. And the fuel went up the arm, and instead of going on top of the butterfly valve, it went into a shaft that the butterfly valve was attached to. And you'd have, say, five large holes on the top of this shaft and five small holes on the bottom. Well, when the fuel went up into this shaft, the air would go through the five top holes, and in a vortex effect, the fuel and air would come out the bottom. And what you actually got was much better fuel atomization than you did in a standard carburetor.
And I would guess it would be dramatic fuel economy here.
Well, it was and it wasn't. I mean, you put one on a Volkswagen, and you'd hardly see the difference. On the other hand, when I met John Robert Fish Jr. Many years ago, about 20 years ago, and he told me, he says, look, he said, you need to make a bigger carburetor. So I said, okay. So we made one that was had a 2-inch bore. And this thing, what it would do on motorhomes was just unbelievable.
Was this based on the fish principle?
It was the fish carburetor.
All right.
That's exactly what we made. We just made bigger ones.
Okay.
And what we found was that on motorhomes, you could put one of these things on a motorhome that would be crawling over a hill at 15 miles an hour. Same motorhome would go up at 45 with this fish carburetor on it.
Well, what happened to it? How come it's not in every car, at least at the time?
Well, at the time, it had some icing problems. This was back in the 50s when Fish was doing it. Then, well, let's see, the company actually collapsed in 59, and Fish Jr. was hired by a company out in San Diego to produce a, what they call the Tice Fish carburetor, and they were producing economy carburetors and just when the horsepower race was starting. So that kind of put him out of business.
Plus, was there any big company trying to put their thumb on him?
No. No, there really wasn't because, well, let me give you an example. In the 15 years that I manufactured them, we made about 10,000 of them, and the EPA wouldn't even talk to me. I called them when we first started. I said, look, I want to be, you know, legal with you people. And they said, well, how many of these things are you making, Brown? And I said, well, best year we ever had. We made 1,680. The guy just laughed and said, call back when you're doing 2,500 a week.
Wow.
And the other thing is, in 15 years, we made 10,000 of them, but Rochester at the same time was making 25,000 carburetors a day.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
weren't anybody's problem.
Well, who bought your 10,000?
People all over the United States. You might even have some listeners right now who've actually got them on their vehicles.
And they just put them on themselves?
Yes. Yeah, it wasn't that hard. You know, we finally basically, well, we threw in the towel 6 years ago because nobody buys a $400 carburetor to put on an $800 15-year-old car.
You know, we just
got put out of business by fuel injection.
Well, and you also couldn't get the cost down, I guess, huh?
Well, we could have if we'd have made enough of them, but nobody would believe it. In other words, I've had more people call me up and say, you know, you have to drive one of these things to believe it. You actually have to experience what one of these carburetors will do before you become convinced.
Okay, but why didn't anybody get that idea, that Fish carburetor idea, like you did and like you tried to market and run with it? If it improved mileage, improved power, you would think that somebody would want that in vehicles. Why did they decide, let's not do that, let's not go that direction? Somebody could have perfected it.
Well, exact opposite, okay? We didn't have icing problems so much back in the times that we were making them because all American cars since 1972 have had heat stoves. But here's the other problem. When I first took one of these things apart, and I, you know, quite frankly, I fell into this because when I first came across that article, I didn't go into production on carburetors. I wrote a book. And quite frankly, if anybody out there has got a copy of Suppressed Inventions and How They Work, let me publicly apologize to you because I was totally full of it. I was just repeating all the technology mythology that everybody else had. And all I really wanted to do was get a carburetor to put on my mantelpiece. The next thing I know, I've got so many of them that I'm knee-deep in them in the closet.
You know, you still have them around your house?
Oh, I have about five of them. My wife is opening the closet door every 3 days and says, you know, Mike, couldn't you spend your money on something else besides these carburetors, like maybe food?
Yeah.
So I started selling them, and pretty soon I'm selling them faster than I can buy them.
What did they run on, Mike?
Well, see, this is the key. This is why nobody wanted to produce Fish carburetors. They would run on gasoline, but with a 90-second adjustment, they would run on ethyl alcohol. They'd run on paint thinner, parts cleaner.
Oh, really?
Anything that would burn that you could get through a 30 thousandths of an inch opening, which was the holes in the bottom of the throttle shaft, this sucker would run on it.
You invented the flux capacitor from the movie Back to the Future, didn't you?
No.
Close to it. Sounds like one of those.
No.
This would run on just about anything.
Well, yeah. See, what happened was because of my formal training in chemistry, when I took these things apart, because, you know, pretty soon I'm drowning in these puppies, and when I took one of them apart one day, and I'm looking, wait a minute. I'm looking at the circuitry on this thing and thinking, based on what I know about chemistry, that this thing is going to run on alcohol or anything else that's flammable. And sure enough, in fact, we had one interesting happening down in Kentucky. One of my dealers went to a high school class. He was going to show how it would run on used parts cleaner.
Sure.
And they switched it. They gave him used paint. They gave him used, let's see, I think it was used parts cleaner. In other words, whatever it was, they
like
switched
like
it on
a paint,
him.
Like a paint thinner?
Yeah, he made it work anyway.
Wow.
You
well,
seen the looks on everybody's faces.
What kind of mileage? Because now, you know, we're finding out the reason why, because this probably may have cut into the big oil companies.
Well,
what kind of mileage would this carburetor have delivered, let's say, with ethanol, which is a derivative from corn?
Okay, well, with ethanol, no matter what you're running, if you're running your standard timing advance and standard compression, you're going to use 50% more of it. But you can jack up the compression, advance the timing to get it about the same. Here's the difference. What happens if you have a carburetor out there that's going to run on toxic waste chemicals, which this thing actually would do?
Well, yeah, but I'm not so sure you'd want that, because what about the emissions?
Well, gasoline was a toxic waste chemical back in the days when it was considered a waste byproduct of kerosene distillation.
Yeah, but that phrase scares me when you say toxic waste. I don't like that.
Well, I know, but don't ever try drinking gasoline, because it is toxic.
Well, yeah, it is.
No, the problem with the Fish carburetor was it did not require octane-rated fuel. In other words, this thing would run just as well on 60-octane Mexican regular as it would the 100-octane stuff you get basically at an airfield.
So do you think one of the reasons why it was suppressed was because it would cut into profits?
Well, there's no question, because if you had a system or a vehicle in which you could just push a button, and I've built them like this, and go from, say, gasoline to alcohol, what happens when you've got all these farmers, and of course we've lost 75% of them over the last 30 years.
Yes, we have.
Yeah, what happens if you've got farmers making motor fuel and not buying it from the oil companies?
Well, and that's something that could be happening very shortly, because I know, for example, the National Corn Growers Association is really pushing now to get ethanol used. And, you know, I think we've got like 10% ethanol now in gasoline, and they'd like to make much more. And they think they would be enough fuel from corn, which is fascinating. Stay with me. We're going to continue this dialogue about suppressed inventions on Coast to Coast AM.
And she knows just what it takes to make a probe like. She got better trouble than the sky. She got Betty Davis eyes.
Attention all smokers. Are you tired of smoking? Have you tried to stop smoking in the past only to start again? Then you don't want to miss Ralph Weber's Quit Smoking Hypnosis Seminar, Wednesday, April 17th at the Holiday Inn Airport on Brooks Avenue at 7 p.m. The Midwest's premier hypnotist uses strong, powerful hypnotic suggestions to help you stop smoking easily without cravings, anxiety, or weight gain. Register at the door 15 minutes prior to the seminar at the Holiday Inn Airport on Brooks Avenue, Wednesday, April 17th at 7 p.m. It's only $70 cash or credit cards. Take control of your life and stop smoking now.
Hi, Chet Walker here for the landmark store that served Rochester for over 100 years. That's right, since 1898, Rowe Photo, Video, and Audio has been carrying the finest in photo-related equipment. You know, cameras, lenses, tripods, flash units, stuff like that. But did you know that for over 20 years, longer than most stores have been in business, Rowe's been selling and installing audio and video components and systems ranging from large-screen TVs and complete home theater surround sound systems to audiophile quality stereo components for the discriminating listeners. You know, this has been such an active area that Rowe has recently added a brand new, fully equipped van and a full-time installation team, including a contractor and licensed electrician for those really challenging assignments, like my house. They did a beautiful job on my home theater. I recommend them to anybody. So if you're thinking of adding a sound system or a home theater, think of Rowe. They're not just a photo store. Rowe Photo, Video, and Audio, 1737 Mount Hope Avenue. Remember the video and audio part.
Only one radio station in Rochester spans the decades of rock. 95.1 The Nerve rocks. From the founding fathers to the new artists, Pink Floyd, Creed, Led Zeppelin, Pearl Jam, AC/DC, Metallica, Guns N' Roses, Godsmack, Aerosmith, Stone Temple Pilots, Black Sabbath, Stained, and more. When you want pure, quality rock and roll, the only radio station in Rochester that consistently delivers is 95.1. The Nerve rocks.
Be in the know. Follow the leader. News Radio 1180, WHAL, Rochester.
Yes, in Tel Aviv, another suicide bombing in Israel. It happened on a bus near the northern port city of Haifa. At least 8 people killed, a dozen wounded. CBS News correspondent Robert Berger reports from Jerusalem.
A Palestinian suicide bomber detonated explosives strapped to his body on an Israeli bus traveling in northern Israel. The bus was crowded during morning rush hour, and the powerful blast turned the vehicle into a skeleton of twisted metal. The Islamic militant group Hamas claimed responsibility for the attack, but Israel blamed Yasser Arafat.
Secretary of State Colin Powell arrives in Israel tomorrow. He says he will consider Yasser Arafat the spokesman for the Palestinians when they meet. A British peacekeeper in Afghanistan has died from a gunshot wound. A military spokesman says the man was shot accidentally while on patrol in a dangerous area of western Kabul. There's been no word on just whose gun fired the fatal shot, but officials stress the patrol did not come under attack. A New York attorney who represented convicted terror ringleader Sheikh Omar Abdelrahman is now accused of helping him run a terror group from behind bars. Stephanie Lambidakis reports.
The indictment accuses attorney Lynn Stewart not only of abusing her attorney-client privileges with Sheikh Rahman, but also of providing material support to his Egyptian terrorist group. She did it, according to the charges, by passing messages between the Sheikh and his network during prison and phone visits, and was able to hide the activity with the help of an Arabic translator. Investigators use wiretaps to monitor her activities over the past 3 years, and if convicted of all the charges, she could serve 40 years in prison. Stephanie Lambidakis, CBS News, the Justice Department.
Amnesty International says the U.S. is now a safe haven for torturers trying to escape justice. Correspondent Lou Miliano.
8 years ago, the U.S. ratified the Convention Against Torture and incorporated its provisions into U.S. law, making prosecution in this country for acts of torture in another possible. But Amnesty International Executive Director William Schultz says since then, the U.S. has become a sanctuary for foreign torturers. And today he echoes his annual report's criticism of the Bush administration.
We have a U.S. government that has abdicated its duty to lead.
In spite of at least 150 suspected torturers now living in the U.S., Schultz says there's not been one prosecution. Lou Maligano, CBS News.
Arthur Anderson may find it more difficult to defend itself from obstruction of justice charges in the Enron case now that a former top auditor has worked a plea deal with federal prosecutors. David Duncan pleading guilty to ordering the shredding of documents. CBS News legal consultant Andrew Cohen.
This is just another reason why Anderson might be better off suing for peace, pushing for a plea deal sooner rather than later, even though it would mean admitting to the world what the world pretty much suspects already about those documents and emails. At least a deal now might allow Anderson to get the worst of this behind it in order to fight the civil lawsuits now looming against it.
This is CBS News.
If you have tax debt, you already know that IRS collection is beefed up to record levels. But also know this, your problems can be solved and your debt can be settled. And there is no person in this country better equipped to help you than Dan Pilla.
Hi, this is Dan Pilla. If you have a levy notice or a tax debt you can't pay, my Tax Freedom Institute can help. I can show you how to stop collection and get your problem solved once and for all. For 25 years, I've said there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case, and I can make a believer out of you. Call for your free consultation, and if you have a state tax debt or student loan debt, I can help there too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX.
If you have IRS debt, now is not the time to despair, but to act. Dan Pilla can show you how to solve your problem. Call for your free consultation. And make sure to ask how you can receive Dan's best-selling book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, for just $5. Call today. 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-N-O-T-A-X.
A new study suggests survivors of childhood cancer often don't know enough about their diagnosis and treatment to help prevent more health problems later on. Laura Oakes of CBS radio station WCCO reports.
Dr. Nina Caden-Loddick says the participants may have been shielded by their parents from the details of their disease or too young to understand their illness. She says, however, their lack of knowledge could pose serious health problems in the future.
It is very important for these
these patients to go back to their treating institution and get a summary of their diagnosis and treatment and bring that to the attention of their primary care doctor.
The study appears in Wednesday's issue of the New England Journal of Medicine. Laura Oakes, CBS News, Minneapolis.
The FAA says it'll require private pilots to show photo IDs when renting small planes in the future. Officials say they're hoping to plug a security loophole. Eventually, they plan to have tamper-proof IDs for all pilots. Jim Shenavy, CBS News.
Here is WHAM's radar weather for Rochester and Western New York. Patchy cloudiness, breezy, cooler overnight with a little fog in the valleys, the low 40 in town, 30s elsewhere. Wednesday will start off with some clouds and fog, but later in the day and on again onto Thursday, plenty of sunshine and turning out very pleasant. Comfortably cool on Wednesday, the high 50 to 55 with afternoon temperatures in the 40s near Lake Ontario. Milder on Thursday, the high 60, cooler again lakeside. We'll head towards 70 on Friday. This is WHAM's Kevin Williams.
When it comes to computers, we could all use some help making sense of the hype.
Microsoft screwed up again.
Who'd have thunk it? That's where the Soundbites guys come in.
You could be running Windows probably 15 to 20 times faster than you're running it now.
Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. Soundbites. America's longest running computer radio show. Soundbites. Saturday afternoons from 12:20 till 2. Soundbites. On News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Norrie on Premier Radio Networks. Now, here's George.
Okay, I'll be one of the first to admit that I don't have one of the greatest tactical minds. Okay? I can do a little plumbing, not a lot. I can do a little bit of electrical work, not a lot. So when it comes to talking to people like Mike Brown, it is incredible for me to be able to understand some of the things that he is talking about. So we're going to continue the dialogue. We're also going to talk about his thoughts about the universe and how does this tie into some of these inventions that we're talking about right now. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. All right, walk around your house and count all the items that have batteries. Count them all. And I bet you are spending on a yearly basis hundreds of dollars a year, hundreds of dollars a year for batteries. You can end it all by getting the quick charger, battery charger. Simple as that. Stop spending your money on throwaway batteries. The new high-capacity nickel metal hydride batteries charged in the Sea Cranes quick charger are more powerful than alkaline batteries, and they last for years. Here are some reviews. Rated first class in a review of new battery chargers in Wired magazine. The best battery charger I've ever seen, says Richard Perez, editor of Home Power magazine. Some of the features: It's the only charger capable of fully charging all sizes of the new high-capacity NiCad and nickel metal hydride batteries. All of your batteries, operated gear, will run longer than it has ever run. Easy to use. Just simply load the batteries, close the lid, voila, it's done. This is simply the best battery charger you can buy. Pays for itself over and over again with the money you save on the batteries. Call 1-800-522-8863. That number again for more information on the Quick Charger or to get a free C Crane catalog. And you should do that. Definitely do that. 1-800-522-8863 or on the web at ccradio.com.
Would you like to feel 10 years younger in 10 weeks? Now there's proof. The effects of aging can be slowed down and even reversed with HGH, human growth hormone. For some time now, you've heard me talk about the incredible age-reversing benefits of HGH. Well, according to thousands of articles, higher HGH levels can help you look and feel younger. That's why I take Ultimate HGH, a natural formula to help boost my body's own production of HGH. If your goal is to help improve energy, stamina, lose unwanted fat, diminish wrinkles, enhance memory, immune function, and vision, then Ultimate HGH is for you too. Why let Mother Nature get the best of you? Call today and order Ultimate HGH. And when you order two bottles of Ultimate HGH, you get the third absolutely free, about $33 a month. Now that's a tremendous savings off the typical $100 a month for comparable products. Plus, with your order, you'll receive a free book on HGH, a $20 value, absolutely free. So, call my good friends at Great American Products and order Ultimate HGH today at 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627. 1-800-557-4627.
And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie with my guest, Mike Brown. And again, those of you who have computers, many of you do, just go to Art Bell's website, www.artbell.com. Click on tonight's guest, read a little information on Mike Brown, and then grab his website and then follow along with the interview. Download some information. You'll find him to be extremely fascinating. Michael, you've concluded that there are a couple of secrets to the universe. Tell me about that.
Well, actually, George, those weren't my conclusions. Those were Nikola Tesla's. When the old man who taught me how to build these multiple wave oscillators, I mean, 4 hours of a day of instructing me was about all he could stand. And in the afternoon, we just kind of lay around and talk. And one of the things that he told me, because he was the liaison officer between Nikola Tesla and the War Department back in 1942.
You're kidding me.
Up until Tesla's death in 43. Yeah, he was apparently, had a daily audience with Nikola Tesla. And I thought that...
Boy, what a remarkable thing to be able to do, don't you think?
Oh, tell me about it. In fact, one of the things I've been kicking myself for years is I didn't have the training that I should have had to talk to this old man before I went to see him. Because, I mean, think if you knew something about electricity and electronics, and you could be instructed by the guy that Nikola Tesla taught.
Oh, man.
Of course, like I said,
wow.
Like I said earlier, you know, imagine Michio Kaku teaching physics to an auto mechanic, and you pretty much have an idea what I went through. Well, one of the things that Nikola Tesla taught him at the time, he said, there are only two secrets to the universe. That's frequency and vibration. So I thought, okay, you know, there's something that, sounds interesting. So when I got home, I lived in Salt Lake City at the time, I just flipped open a Bible. And I landed on the part where Moses is running the frogs out of the river, and the Pharaoh's magicians are saying, this is no big deal, we can do this too. And I thought, wait a minute. All either one of these people had to do was introduce a frequency or vibration into the water that the frogs couldn't stand.
And they'd run away. You know, they're using technology like that, for example, to chase insects out of your house.
Right, but Nikola Tesla knew this 100 years ago.
What a genius.
Oh, no question. One of the other things that he knew, and this goes right back to frequency and vibration, He pointed out in one of the magazine articles that he wrote about the time of the First World War that every time there was a huge artillery barrage in France, there were earthquakes in Italy. And if you look back at the latest earthquake in Afghanistan...
Many. They've had several.
Well, we dropped a lot of bombs there. And then they radiate out. There was one in Taipei. And here's something else to think about that I came across long after I'd gotten this piece of information, that every single time, and apparently in the last 30 years, there are no exceptions, anytime there's an underground nuclear blast, within 3 to 14 days, there is always an earthquake in some other part of the planet.
You know, Mike, I'm glad you brought that up, because I am convinced that all the bombings that have occurred in Afghanistan definitely is directly related now to the earthquakes that have been in that region and around that part of the globe. And you're the first time that I've heard someone else really dictate that.
Well, actually, Nikola Tesla said it back at the time of the First World War. And if you think about it, it only makes sense. If you pound on something hard enough, it's going to vibrate.
Okay, now, I've got a little simple mind here. I really understand the world of the paranormal. Tell me a little bit about frequency and vibration. Explain that a little bit for me in layman's terms.
Okay. I just used the example of if you start dropping bombs on the planet, it's going to start vibrating. Okay? Now frequency, let's go back to the multiple wave oscillator. Everything in nature has a frequency. For example, the human eye works between a frequency, I believe it's between like 350 and 750 terahertz, or trillions of cycles per second. And it goes all the way down to the electric blanket that some people use, which is 60 hertz, which is only 60 cycles per second. And everything out there, in one fashion or another, has a frequency. In fact, do you recall ever seeing the bridge, I believe it was over the Tacoma Narrows in Washington from 1941? It was a steel and concrete bridge. And the wind started blowing at a certain frequency called a resonant frequency that matched whatever was going on in that bridge. And pretty soon, this bridge starts going up and down like a roller coaster and cars start falling into the water.
Jeez.
Yeah, I believe that film is shown in almost every physics class.
I probably skipped that class.
Well, I mean, even a piece of inanimate iron, you think it's just standing, it actually has a frequency. In fact, one of Tesla's experiments was he had a machine that he hooked up, I believe it was to the frame of the building he was in New York at one time, and he was using it. It was a vibrating machine to cure constipation. And unfortunately, it started vibrating apparently at the same frequency of the framework of this building, and then the whole building started vibrating.
Jeez.
So he had to unplug it. But... Now, that's basically it. In other words, any time you see anything going on and you want to explain it and you don't understand it, normally it comes right back down to frequency or vibration.
You have just explained some new warfare technology that they either have or they're working on. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. It's new warfare technology. That people have been dropping bombs on each other for a long time.
Yeah, but think of a machine that you could aim at something with a vibration.
They have had things called sound cannons and things like that, but as far as the use of weapons in that respect, I really don't know a whole lot about that. You know, you may have a point, but that's going to have to be, you know, for someone besides you and me to figure out.
All right, let's get back to some of the fascinating suppressed inventions that might be out there. I've read an article that you've written about the steam engine. And as old as that technology is, that's still a pretty good engine, isn't it?
Well, actually, 93% of all the power produced in our society is still produced by steam, except that they're big steam turbines in big power plants because nobody produces power at the local level. But that's correct. It's, in fact, what actually happened with steam is that almost every farm in America had a steam engine before World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And because we needed steel faster than we could mine it, apparently, for planes and ships and tanks and guns, that the military went around a lot of these farms and asked them to donate their steam engines. And the thing is, with a steam engine, for let me give you an example of how durable these things are.
And cheap, too.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it'll run on anything that burns. Corn cobs, trash, used motor oil, wood chips. I mean, you don't require refined fuel, which also means you don't require people all over the world to make sure that we get the fuel from other people.
Exactly.
And anyway, the point I was trying to make here is that these things are so durable. Unlike a gas engine, for example, a gas engine, I don't care how well you build it, you run it 24 hours a day for a couple of years, it's going to burn up.
Uh-huh.
But they had one in England. This is my favorite example. It's in a coal yard. And they put this thing up in the year 1800. And they kept it lubricated. And they never took it down for repairs. And this thing ran 24-7, 365. And the year they took it down because they'd run out of coal was 1950.
Wow.
In other words, these things, they literally last forever.
What a machine.
Yeah, and it's sad that, you know, there's so few people interested in steam these days other than, you know, basically the hood lifter and tire kicker crowd that goes to a lot of these, you know, steam tractor meets.
How efficient is that engine?
No steam engine is ever more than 10% efficient at point of operation, whereas a gas engine averages 25. Here's the difference. The part of the equation nobody ever considers, you could call it net energy, is that in order to get a gallon of gasoline, you have to drill for it, you have to pump it, you have to transport it, you have to mine it, you have to distribute it. So by the time a gallon of gasoline gets in your gas tank, it's actually less efficient than steam.
Hmm. Why don't we ever have little steam engines in cars?
Probably because what happened there was, let's go back to 1913. At the time, Charles Kettering, who was an engineer, a friend of his had a hand-cranked car, ran over himself, killed himself. And so Kettering invented the electric starter. So here we've got the Model T Ford with electric starters, and Henry Ford...
Yeah, and that's, you're saying that's as opposed to the crank that we see
right. That
was in all those old cars. Okay.
Right, yeah, because that crank was extremely dangerous. It's a good way to break an arm, good way to get the thing started and have it run over you, that sort of thing.
Oh, sure.
So here we have a system in which the thing gets started in 30 seconds. Well, a steam engine back then took half an hour to basically come up to, you know, get ahead of steam.
Mm-hmm.
And then Abner Doble in 1919 came out with a system where you could get a full head of steam in 30 seconds. Here's the problem. The Model T at the time was selling for like $225, but Abner Doble was a fanatic. And this guy built a 6,000-pound luxury car that would start in 30 seconds, run all day long at 80 miles an hour, but it cost an absolute fortune back in those days, something like $6,000. Worse than that, every time he thought of an improvement, he shut down his production line, and his accountants are screaming at him, put up another line, keep making cars on this one. So between 1919 and 1933, the finest steam car the world has ever seen, Abner Doble made a grand total of 60 of them.
Wow. Are there any out there now?
Oh, yeah. In fact, you want to get one now, it'll cost you $250,000, and that's for one that's basically in kind of ratty shape.
Jeez.
Yeah, they're out there, and these vehicles, they're, you know, you can still run them. I mean, every once in a while, you'll see some character with a steam car that was built 80 years ago driving across the country.
Michael, and as you look, I mean, because you really have a good grasp of this, but as you look toward the future, what are we going to see in terms of inventions that will just help society? Or what should be out there that may be suppressed?
Well, earlier you mentioned the Corn Growers Association.
Yeah.
Well, what they should be doing, and this has been going on since the 1930s, all this business with gasohol, we had it back in the 30s, and the oil companies killed it. And what the people, the farmers, the corn growers associations, people like this, they have to understand somehow or another that taking 10% ethanol and putting it with 90% gasoline really is not a solution to anything. In fact, it's almost like David going to Goliath and asking him for help with a slingshot. It's so much easier, and it would make so much more sense for the Corn Growers Association just to teach people how to run pure ethanol in their vehicles with a switchover if they have to. I mean, we can go back to 1979.
But Big Oil doesn't want that to happen.
Well, but how many Big Oil people do you have in the Corn Growers Association? I mean, they don't have to. They don't have to get in bed with the oil companies. In fact, one of the marketing problems I think that the Corn Growers Association has is they don't really understand what their own product is used for. For example, back in the 1930s, almost every automobile in Europe, the owner ran a tank full of ethanol through it every 6 months just to clean out all the carbon.
Hmm.
In other words, that's what you use it for. You can also use it for high performance. And one of the units that we built back in 1979, actually Jim Kinsler, who does the fuel injection packages for the Indianapolis 500, built it for us. But we had this 73 Chevy Suburban, and this thing with gasoline was a dog. At about 95 miles an hour, that was it. And when we put it on ethanol, at 130, we lost our nerve.
Big difference.
Well, yeah. Because,
Big difference.
Yeah, and see, one of the things that's also been kind of hidden from the public is that when our Marines first captured a Japanese airfield at Guadalcanal,
Now
bear in mind, in the early days of the war, the Japanese Zero could outfly and outclimb anything we had. And all it had was a Pratt & Whitney nine-cylinder radial engine. And when the Marines opened drums marked aviation fuel in Japanese...
What was it?
Ethyl alcohol.
Jeez. How come we didn't know that then?
We did. That's the sad part. There's a book by Donald Espain titled The One and Only Solution to the Farm Problem. And in the back of the book, there's all these ads like Chrysler Corporation selling alcohol-powered vehicles that they were exporting to New Zealand. They didn't sell any of them here. The Philippines, they were running everything up to and including locomotives on ethyl alcohol. And the Chinese were running their diesels on tung oil. In other words, any diesel you've got out there, if you run out of fuel, can't get any diesel fuel, go in a supermarket and buy a gallon jug of soybean oil. It'll work fine.
Just throw it right in there and off you go.
Yeah, as long as it's above 57 degrees Fahrenheit, because it tends to coagulate the injectors at lower temperatures.
Do you ever think we'll ever be at a point where we'll have free energy?
Well, I think Tesla was pretty close to it with his idea of getting it from lightning. I mean, what are you going to do, for example? I don't know about you, but if I had a billion volts and 3,000 amps, I wouldn't know what to do with it.
I don't know what to do with the power we have now, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, well, the energy's free. I mean, look at waterfalls. That's basically free energy. All you have to do is build the equipment to extract it.
Yeah, but could you imagine a society with free energy? Fuel for your car, free. Power for your home, free. Could you imagine that?
Well, as long as the food isn't free, because then nobody'd do any work.
That'll never be free, unfortunately.
That's true, yeah. Well, now, we have the technology. We're very close to that. The problem is, as you pointed out before I came on the program, it's all about money. As long as somebody is making a buck at something, they're going to be an obstacle to progress as far as someone else encroaching on what they perceive as their market.
Do you ever see the day where government steps in and says, we're going to have free energy manufacturing plants out there?
No, because the problem with governments is they only have two functions, killing people and making wooden-headed decisions. Anything that's going to happen as far as reform goes has to come from the bottom up, not the top down.
All right, stay with us. Michael Brown, my guest. We're talking about inventions, and of course a lot of inventions turn into energy, but primarily inventions that have been hidden from us, so that life is a little tougher for all of us. I'm George Norrie, and you are listening to Coast AM.
Asked you how you would treat those around you if you somehow knew it was your last day. Whether you would thank those who would help you, spend time with those you love. But I learned as I wrote that spot that I couldn't possibly say all that I intended to in just 1 minute. This is part two, your second last day, if you will. The reason is I'm urging you to consider how this world would be if we all used that standard in dealing with each other. This is Bob Brenna Jr. from the law firm of Brenna and Brenna, giving you that second chance right here, right now. Use this opportunity to tell the truth, not because you will be better off, but because every untruth deprives someone else of justice and fairness somewhere down the line. Let your concern for others be expressed. Let people know you care. Be generous. Be kind. Not because it will help you, but because you've been given a second chance today. Your second last day.
From the law firm of Brenna and Brenna, Suite 2000, Liberty Plaza, Rochester, New York.
Here's Dan Richards, president of Ontario Honda and Ontario Mazda.
Being a Honda and Mazda dealer in Canandaigua, we need more ways to get our message out than just drive-by traffic. After trying several different approaches, we've come up with a combination that seems to be effective in getting our name and message out to the public. Without a doubt, WHAM is a strong part of our plan. We've gotten terrific results with WHAM, especially since we've been working with Beth Adams. Beth has been a customer of Ontario Honda for over 12 years, and she does a great job of communicating to WHAM listeners. One of the things we like best about WHAM is the ability to change our message almost instantaneously, which is vital in the automobile business. When it comes to advertising, we use certain media because we feel we have to. We use WHAM because we know it works.
To improve your business, call WHAM General Sales Manager Dan Guilfoyle at 454-4884, extension 117. WHAM gets results.
When it comes to leasing equipment of any kind, Real Lease makes it real simple to arrange the lease that's right for you. From the simple application and simplified approval process, Real Lease offers simply outstanding service to satisfy your business equipment leasing needs. No matter what the dollar size, with Real Lease you will always have the option to renew, acquire, or upgrade the equipment you lease. And should your business ever find itself in a position where your immediate equipment needs are not in the budget, Real Lease can help you overcome that obstacle. Get that necessary equipment now, not later. Real Lease takes the time to listen to their clients, so the lease will always be unique, well thought out, and specifically for your company. Real Lease, the equipment leasing specialists, building long-term relationships you can count on. To arrange a personal consultation, call 244-8855. Simple application, simple approval process, simply outstanding service. Call Real Lease, a Rochester Top 100 company, 244-8855, or on the web at reallease.com.
The place to be when you need to know now. Rochester's news leader, News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Here's WHAM's radar weather for Rochester and Western New York. Patchy cloudiness, breezy, cooler overnight with a little fog in the valleys, the low 40 in town, 30 is elsewhere. Wednesday will start off with some clouds and fog, but later in the day and on again onto Thursday, plenty of sunshine and turning out very pleasant. Comfortably cool on Wednesday, the high 50 to 55 with afternoon temperatures in the 40s near Lake Ontario. Milder on Thursday, the high 60, cooler again lakeside. We'll head towards 70 on Friday. This is WHAM's Kevin Williams.
Rochester's news leader, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
Rush Limbaugh.
What we are attempting to secure in Israel, what the world has attempted to secure in the Middle East since the outbreak of hostilities, has never happened in a significant conflict before in world history. Can you name for me one time peace was the first result and then the war ended? Can somebody name for me a time in world history where peace was not the result of a decisive victory?
Rush 2 till 5. Rush on WHAM.
Be it sight, sound, smell, or touch.
for the men to burst up through tarmac to the sun again, or to fly to the sun without burning a wing, to lie in a meadow and hear the grass sing.
Coast to Coast AM, sitting in for Art Bell. By the way, thanks to many of you who have emailed me with my little request for what was the name of that television show where the scientist invented a pill that he dropped into some water and turned it into fuel. It was from One Step Beyond. So thank you. I was going to go nuts without knowing that. If you want to email me, just go to Art Bell's website and click on, right there you'll see Interact, and then click on Email Hosts, just scroll down, and there I am, sandwiched between Art there and Barbara Simpson, right there. Hey, the After Dark newsletter, if you need that phone number, I'm going to give it to you. It's 1-888-727-5505. You will get two free issues. You will get 14 for the price of 12, and make sure you tell them you want the April one in the deal. That one, they're all good. The April issue is fantastic because it's got one of my favorite topics in there, that being Planet X, that planet that if it's out there, is in our solar system and comes around every 3,600 years, and strangely enough, all kinds of things have happened to this planet in 3,600-year cycles. Isn't that weird? The After Dark newsletter, 1-888-727-5505. And when I return, we'll continue with our dialogue with Michael Brown and Suppressed Inventions. Okay, are you one of the millions of people who wake up with back pain every morning? Up to 80% of the people experience back pain at some point in their lives. And maybe as you head into work each day, wishing that you could have stayed in bed just a few more minutes, please, just a few more. Well, I want you to learn about the revolutionary Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort and what sleeping on air can do for you. Air. Call 1-800-985-7100 right now, and you'll get a free video and a brochure that will answer all your questions on this remarkable new way to sleep. The Sleep Number bed by Select Comfort uses adjustable air chambers that allow you to set each side of the bed to your exact level of comfort, firmness, support, and that is your sleep number. Call 1-800-985-7100 today. The call is free, no obligation, just a great opportunity to learn more about how you can get the best sleep of your life. The telephone number again, 1-800-985-7100. Tell them you want to sleep like Art Bell. 1-800-985-7100.
Rabbit fever.
Duck season.
Rabbit fever.
Duck season.
Rabbit fever.
Duck season.
Wrong. It's tax season. And the folks at FreeCreditReport.com want to remind you that now's the best time to get your credit in order. Just log on to FreeCreditReport.com to learn how to get your free credit report. It only makes sense. A free credit report from FreeCreditReport.com. That's FreeCreditReport.com.
All auto service is not the same. That's a fact you'll recognize the minute you walk into Goodyear for Gemini Automotive Care. With Gemini, you get more than service. You get straight answers, upfront pricing, a nationwide limited warranty, and value. In fact, now through May 31st, Gemini Spring Car Care Package is just $35. That includes an oil change, tire rotation, and more. For complete details and the participating retailer nearest you, call 1-877-GEMINI-1. Gemini Automotive Care. Available at select Goodyear locations.
Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. We're going to open up the phone lines next hour for you to give you an opportunity to talk with Mike Brown about some of the things that he's been talking about tonight. And those of you who really understand technology, you will just have a superb opportunity to chat with him. But that'll be next hour. Michael, let's talk, if we can, a little bit again about Mr. Tesla. How did this guy get so advanced, so far beyond anyone else? How did he do this?
It was the way he thought. Tesla only studied two things other than the electrical engineering he started out with, and obviously once he got going, he didn't need to study electrical engineering because he was way ahead of everyone else. But the two subjects that he studied almost exclusively were nature and the Bible.
Hmm.
In other words, what he said was, if you want to design something, if you want to invent something, see how it was already done in nature, and you'll have a pretty good idea of what you need to do next.
How would you compare him? They were different, but to Albert Einstein, Einstein a genius in his own right?
Well, a lot of people aren't going to like this. But Einstein really was not in Tesla's league. Tesla was ahead of him. In fact, of the dozen predictions that Tesla made before his death in 1943, such as we'd have the ability to communicate at distances equal to those of other planets, 11 of them have come true. In other words, some of Einstein's theories have been undermined, but not Tesla's.
It was almost like the Jules Verne of his day?
Yeah, he was. I mean, and you know, the sad part of it was, this guy, all he ever really wanted to do was benefit his fellow man, but it seems every time he got in a business deal, he basically started swimming with sharks and they ate him.
They ate him alive because they didn't want that technology out.
Exactly. I mean, every single time this guy came up with something better, what he'd done before, after about the age of 47 or thereabouts, nobody wanted to hear it. Everybody just said, oh, well, you know, all he does is sit and feed pigeons in the park. Well, that's all you'd do, too, if somebody tied you up with a contract you couldn't see any way out of.
Of all his inventions that we know about, which one do you think is just the most remarkable?
Well, that's really hard to say, because just for the transmission of AC power, he did something like, I think he had something like 40 patents, and I'm not even sure if it was his, but I would probably say the three-phase generator.
Now, what is that, and what does that do?
Okay, well, a one-phase, it's going to be a little hard to explain. Stop me if I'm boring you.
And don't forget, I'm very simple here.
Well, I'm going to try to keep it simple, all right?
All right.
Now, your original one-phase generator, just draw a circle on a piece of paper.
All right, I'm doing that right now.
Okay, put your pencil in the circle.
All right.
Okay, now, at one end of the pencil, at the eraser end, just put a little tiny circle. Then at the lead end of it, put another little tiny circle. Now, that's going to represent copper. And the pencil is going to represent a bar magnet with a north pole and a south pole. Okay?
All right.
Now, As you move that pencil or that bar magnet past that copper wire, it's going to induce a current. But as you move it away, the current is going to drop off until when the pencil is straight up and down, and the little copper circles on each side of your circle are on each side. In other words, they're no longer the pencil is no longer pointing between those two points. It's literally parallel to them. You have no current at all. And what happens is, as the pencil moves away from the copper wire, the amount of current that you have available drops off. Well, with three-phase power, you have merely three single phases, and you have six of those points, and you have three of those pencils or bar magnets, so that your power never really drops off to the point where you don't have any. And that's basically how a three-phase alternator or generator works. In other words, you have much more consistent power than you would with just a single-phase generator.
What kind of an influence has he had on technology today?
Well, actually, like I mentioned earlier, there's a book titled Nikola Tesla, The Man Who Invented the 20th Century. If it hadn't been for Nikola Tesla and his work with the transmission of alternating current, there's a really good possibility that the technology we have today be pretty close to what we had in 1890.
What was some of the very first things he invented?
Oh, that's really hard to say because he invented so many things, and so many things that he did, I can't really pinpoint right off the top of my head. Because, like I said, just for the transmission of AC power, he had 40 patents. The one, my favorite, obviously, is the oscillator because, and this is going to sound really trivial, but when I went down to meet the old man who taught me how to build them,
uh-huh.
I wasn't looking to benefit humanity so much as I was looking for an electronic equivalent of anabolic steroids. Because I was working with a guy there in Salt Lake putting up a gym, and I was trying to get these guys off these chemicals, and since every chemical reaction carries with it a corresponding release of electrical energy, what I figured was, well, let's see, if I can get the corresponding release of electrical energy without the chemicals, maybe I can build some monsters.
You were going to make your own group of supermen, huh?
Well, I was working on it. I had six guys I was training at a gym called the Iron Pump, and in 9 months I took every single one of them from a bench press of 220 to 350.
With this electrical device?
No, that's the sad part. No, I wasn't even using it at the time. I got sidetracked. In fact, to this day, I still don't know if it'll work like that.
Look, for the remaining portion of this hour, I want to talk about the Ark of the Covenant again,
sure.
Because you brought up something in the beginning part of this show that I think is just fantastic, remarkable, strange, the fact that it appears to have been a huge capacitor, possibly used, and I'm reading what I wrote down here, as a radio for interplanetary communication. What the heck were you talking about?
Okay, well, do you want me to start with the planet they were communicating with or with the Ark of the Covenant?
Don't hold back.
Okay, I'll try not to be a weenie about this. All right, back in the 1950s, there was a fellow named Emanuel Velikovsky, wrote two books, Earth in Upheaval and Worlds in Collision. And one of the things he pointed out was that if you go back about 6,000 years to the star charts that the ancients had put together,
uh-huh.
The planet Venus was missing. In other words, there's a really good possibility that that planet wasn't even here in this solar system 6,000 years ago. So Velikovsky also postulated that the manna at the time of the Exodus actually was created by the planet Venus coming very, very close to this planet. In other words, there's a really good possibility that that planet is an artificial planet known as the Garden of Eden in Genesis or the New Jerusalem in Revelation. All right, so here we have a planet to communicate with. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, and I got this from not the Ark, but another Ark. There's a section in the Bible where Saul tells the priest, put your hand on the Ark. Now, again, the word Ark just meant box.
Right.
This was not the Ark of the Covenant. This was another box. He says, put your hand on the box and find out, shall we go up? In other words, put your hand on the box and then tell me whether we should attack the Philistines or not. And so the priest put his hand on the Ark and said, yeah, you're supposed to attack it. Now today we would say he switched on the radio. because the entire Bible is just replete with the electrical phenomena. For example, where Christ says, I felt the virtue go out of me, where the woman with the issue of blood touches his cloak, and almost all modern preachers will tell you that, oh, that was, you know, the goodness that went out of him. But bear in mind that the Bible was translated in England.
Well, let's get back, though. Let's get back to Venus for
sure.
A moment. You said that was artificial?
Well, I think it still is. Yeah, and
it's huge. It's immense.
Well, so, here's, yeah, you're right. It is. It's humongous for something that's artificial. But there's other anomalies about that planet. It has a retrograde orbit. In other words, it rotates in a different direction than the other planets in the solar system. It has no magnetic fields. It has a surface temperature of 900 degrees, which is 300 degrees hotter than Mercury, which is much closer to the Sun. In other words, there are a whole lot of things with that planet that don't make any sense according to conventional science.
Well, if it's artificial, what is it doing here?
Well, this is going to sound crazy, but, you know, that's okay. I think what it's doing here, or what happened originally, is there was a war in another solar system, and the survivors fashioned this planet. In fact, I believe you'll find it referred to in Genesis 1 in the Hebrew, in the first verse. It doesn't say in Hebrew what it says in English. The first verse in Hebrew can be read, and I've actually had a Hebrew teacher look at it and say, yeah, Brown, it could say that. By vibrations, the gods, plural, okay, fashioned the atmosphere and the planet. And they weren't talking about this one. I think that's the one they were talking about.
And you think the Ark of the Covenant, which you think was a radio, was communicating with somebody on that planet or on that thing?
Well, considering that the smaller Ark that I referred to had to have been a radio, otherwise they wouldn't have been getting instructions through it. That was a small one. Well, this thing that they were literally driving around on an ox cart had so much power, and it was so large that it really wouldn't be necessary for something that big to communicate with something local. It would have to be over a long distance.
Do you think if they found the Ark of the Covenant now, and they might, mm-hmm. they just might, mm-hmm. and if they opened it up, that it would still be functional?
No. In fact, it was not functional in Hezekiah's time, because if you read the descriptions of it in the time of Samuel, this thing was extremely dangerous. I mean, when the Philistines captured it, it basically caused them so many problems, they couldn't wait to get rid of it. In other words, it's almost as if it was leaking nuclear radiation. But by Hezekiah's time, when they dug it out of the warehouse, apparently all the current and voltage had leaked out. And this is hundreds of years later, because all Hezekiah found in it were the tablets in which the law, the 613 law, statutes, and judgments of the Old Testament were written on it. But apparently at that time it wasn't a danger to anybody, and then of course it disappeared completely around 585 B.C.
Could this be like a battery where the acid leaked out or something like that?
No, I don't think it was a battery. I think, in fact, like I said, it was more of a capacitor case, because when I first read the description, and I'm saying, okay, here's a layer of wood, here's a layer of gold. Wood is not a dielectric. In other words, you don't normally store electricity in wood.
Right.
But it is a semiconductor. And there was an experiment that Volta did back in 1782, and even today it's called Volta's paradox. And I was wondering, okay, wait, if this is wood, you know, wouldn't the current leak out like it did when it fried Uzzah? And Volta's experiment showed that a conducting plate will actually retain its charge better on a semiconductor than it will an insulator.
Gosh, I hope they find this.
Well, like I said, the directions for building it are there in Exodus 25. The problem is, in the English, it's so garbled, and my Hebrew is pretty much limited to the alphabet and the year I had in college, which I promptly forgot.
Well, I have heard, as a matter of fact, I had a guest on just a few weeks ago on my Sunday show, and we were talking about the Ark. And he was talking about the fact that it could have been some kind of a electrical or some kind of energy force within that box as well. So what you say may not be off base by any means.
Well, here's something else to think about. I had a computer classes on upgrading and rebuilding them, and I asked the teacher about that, and he was telling me about there's some collection of silicon someplace, which is what you use for computer chips, and this thing, it was about the size of the Ark of the Covenant. It's around currently today. This thing will hold so much information, nobody even knows what to put in it.
Jeez.
I'm just wondering if that's what was in the Ark of the Covenant, was so much information. Because, for example, now this is just speculation on my part. If you take a clay tablet and you put a gold plate on each side,
you've
just created a capacitor.
You've got a capacitor.
Right.
That's absolutely right.
And if you stuff the Ark of the Covenant with capacitors like that, and you do it in parallel, you now have capacitance way all out of proportion to what the Ark of the Covenant itself would have had if it was just a single capacitor.
What's the smallest capacitor they make now?
I couldn't really tell you. I think they make them so small they can't even be seen with a microscope.
And I assume they can store a tremendous amount of energy?
Yeah, in fact, and this is something that, that people don't realize. For example, if you're working on a computer and you get to dinking around with a power supply, real bad idea if you don't know what you're doing, because there have been cases in which somebody has stuck a screwdriver in the back of the power supply of a computer, and we're talking about a fairly small piece of equipment.
While it's plugged in or unplugged?
Unplugged.
All right.
And when those capacitors release, they'll kill you. In fact, this teacher that I was just referring to, that's the first thing he taught us. He said, don't mess with this power supply. He was there when a guy he knew stuck a screwdriver into one of the capacitors and released them, knocked him 6 feet back, and killed him.
Wow. I've never heard that. I'm glad you told me. It could be unplugged, but if you hit the capacitor the wrong way, you could get shocked. I guess that doesn't happen a lot, Michael. But that's pretty scary stuff. I'll tell you what, next hour, we're going to open up the phone lines for you now to give you an opportunity to talk with Michael Brown about some of the things we've been talking about. And by the looks of all the email that you are sending me, you've got a lot of questions about suppressed inventions, about free energy, a whole lot of other things. I'm George Norrie, sitting in for Art Bell, and you are listening exclusively tonight to Coast AM.
Ever thought about improving your smile, having cosmetic surgery or LASIK eye surgery, but you weren't sure where to turn for the right answers? Have your questions answered by a panel of experts at the Ask the Experts Frontiers in Cosmetics and Vision Seminar, Thursday, April 25th from 6:30 till 8:30 p.m. at the Lodge at Woodcliff. The seminar is free with reservations suggested. Join Village Smiles, Lindsay House Center for Cosmetic and Reconstructive Surgery, and Strong Vision. Call 234-5925 for your reservation.
Since my mother moved to the Villages at Park Ridge, she keeps telling me to slow down, have fun, enjoy life more. Just like she does. Easier said than done. Well, now that she's living at the Villages at Park Ridge, she stops to celebrate life in many ways. Exercise classes, wine tasting parties, picnics, educational seminars, computer classes, new resident luncheons, even gardening with friends. My mother's thrilled. She's made new friends and living such an active life. I'm relieved knowing she's genuinely happy and feeling secure. I guess you could say we're both enjoying life a lot more.
Help your parents enjoy life. Contact the Villages at Park Ridge or visit villages@pr.org. That's villages@pr.org. The Villages at Park Ridge, where life begins with retirement. Part of the Unity Healthcare family.
Only one radio station in Rochester spans the decades of rock. 95.1, The Nerve rocks. From the founding fathers to the new artists, Pink Floyd, Creed, Led Zeppelin, Pearl Jam, AC/DC, Metallica, Guns N' Roses, Godsmack, Aerosmith, Stone Temple Pilots, Black Sabbath, Stained, and more. When you want pure, quality rock and roll, the only radio station in Rochester that consistently delivers is 95.1. The Nerve rocks.
Rochester's award-winning news team, recognized year after year. News Radio 1180 WHAM Rochester.
A clear channel radio station.
CBS News. I'm Jim Shenavy. At least 8 Israelis are dead, more than a dozen wounded in the latest suicide bombing. CBS News correspondent Robert Berger.
The crowded civilian bus was traveling in northern Israel during morning rush hour when a Palestinian suicide bomber detonated explosives strapped to his body. The Islamic militant group Hamas claimed responsibility for the attack, which turned the bus into a wreck of twisted metal. In response to the bombing, Prime Minister Ariel Sharon told ministers of his Likud party that the Israeli military offensive in the West Bank must continue. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
The Israeli army says Arab guerrillas fired more than a dozen rockets from Lebanon into the Golan Heights in northern Israel today, one of the biggest cross-border attacks since Israel withdrew from Lebanon 2 years ago. At least 5 people are dead after a shooting rampage in Dover Township, New Jersey. The suspect, a veteran police officer. Investigators say 15-year-old Seaside Heights patrolman Edward Lutz, believed to have fled in a car after gunning down 2 people in the house next door to his, 3 people in the house across the street. 2 other people wounded, including the Seaside Heights police chief. There's been no word on the motive. Former Arthur Anderson auditor David Duncan has pleaded guilty to obstruction of justice in the Enron probe, part of a plea deal that will have him assisting federal prosecutors. Bad news for the accounting giant. Reporter Sue Hanks of CBS radio station KPRC.
Duncan was the senior auditor in charge of the Enron account in federal court. He told U.S. District Judge Melinda Harmon that he was in charge of the shredding frenzy and even destroyed some documents himself so they would not be available to the SEC. Duncan's guilty plea is part of a bargain with prosecutors, his cooperation for the promise of no further criminal prosecution and a light sentence. Duncan is also barred from selling his story.
The Mexican Senate has forbidden President Vicente Fox and his request to travel to the U.S. More from reporter Adrian Barr.
Senators from outside President Vicente Fox's party said the block was a response to what they considered his soft stance on migrants' rights. The flap stems from a recent U.S. Supreme Court decision against an undocumented Mexican worker. Under a centuries-old law, Mexican presidents must ask their Congress for permission to leave the country, but never before had that permission been denied. Though the ruling drew criticism from Mexican diplomats, Fox himself did not make a formal complaint to the U.S. The Mexican leader's trip to Vancouver and Seattle was scheduled for next week. Adrian Barr, CBS News, Mexico City.
Los Angeles Police Chief Bernard Parks has been turned down in his bid for a second 5-year term, a civilian panel giving him the word yesterday. Commission Chairman Rick Caruso.
With regrets, the commission, by a vote of 4-1, must deny the chief's request for a new 5-year term.
The panel blaming a lack of confidence in the department. Park says he'll appeal. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Lynette Jennings. Did you know that one of the most improved technologies in your home today has to do with how you sleep? It's the weightless sleep bed developed by Tempur-Pedic.
Yes, Lynette. Tempur-Pedic's new weightless sleep technology makes other beds obsolete. It's recognized by NASA, certified by the Space Foundation, recommended worldwide by over 25,000 sleep clinics and health professionals. Starting where NASA's anti-G-force research ended, Tempur-Pedic invented Tempur pressure relieving material, an otherworldly sleep surface that uses weight, shape, and body temperature to mold to your every curve. You've seen it on TV, read about it in the press, wondered what it was. Call us now and find out.
Now get a free sample, free video, and free trial certificate by calling 888-745-0536. That's 888-745-0536. Toll free, 888-745-0536.
A popular over-the-counter dietary supplement doesn't do what it's supposed to. That's the word in today's Journal of the American Medical Association. Pamela McCall reports.
If major depression's getting you down, St. John's wort might not be the thing to bring you back up. Researchers at Duke University say the popular herbal supplement doesn't work. Dr. Jonathan Davidson says stick to the pills that do.
I would recommend that they take one of the proven treatments that's available, so this might be one of the regular antidepressant drugs.
It's still not known if St. John's wort can raise spirits of people with depression that's not as bad.
There's a big need to do studies of the type we've just done in people with milder depression.
Pamela McCall, CBS News.
Four-time Olympic gold medalist Olga Korbut will enter a diversion program rather than be prosecuted on shoplifting charges. Korbut was arrested back in January for allegedly stealing $19 worth of groceries from a store in suburban Atlanta. Jim Shenavy, CBS News.
Here's great news for arthritis.
Here is WHAM's radar weather for Rochester and Western New York. Patchy cloudiness, breezy, cooler overnight with a little fog in the valleys, the low 40 in town, 30s elsewhere. Wednesday will start off with some clouds and fog, but later in the day and on again onto Thursday, plenty of sunshine and turning out very pleasant. Comfortably cool on Wednesday, the high 50 to 55 with afternoon temperatures in the 40s near Lake Ontario. Milder on Thursday, the high 60, cooler again lakeside. We'll head towards 70 on Friday. This is WHAM's Kevin Williams.
It's the biggest contest you've ever heard on Wham! A $1 million prize. You heard right. $1 million. When you hit a cue, be the 500th nationwide caller to 1-866-525-WINS. That's 1-866-525-9467 to win $1 million. That's all there is to it. Someone listening to a Clear Channel radio station across America is going to win $1 million. Why not you?
Brought to you by Dorshal Buick Toyota on West Henrietta Road. Dorshal will beat any deal car for car, option for option, with or without a trade.
George Norrie on Premier Radio Network. To talk with George from west of the Rockies, dial 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George at area code 541-665-0520. And the wildcard line is open at area code 541-665-0521. Now, here's George Norrie.
And again, we're using the weekend phone numbers for this hour, giving you an opportunity to chat with Michael Brown about suppressed inventions. Don't go away. You're listening to Coast AM. This is my favorite radio, and if you buy it, I guarantee you, it'll be yours, too. The CC Radio Plus, AM, FM, TV, Weather Radio, $159.95. The Sea Crane is now shipping this new CC Radio Plus. But you know what? They're not going to last forever. Nothing ever does. So get yours now. Get exactly the great, great AM reception with a few new features. The timer automatically switches to your favorite show. Audio in and out jacks for recording and playback. It's got an external AM antenna jack for mobile use or brick and metal buildings. And it's signal strength and battery strength meter. And that I find to be very helpful. Sometimes you'll dial up to a radio station, you think you have the right frequency, and you really don't. And you know a notch or two, you're going to get great power. You've got a signal strength meter right there on the radio. And FM stereo, you can get through the headphones. If you have a CC radio, here's a great excuse to get another one. Get the CC Radio Plus. Here's a phone number, 1-800-522-8863. That number again for more information about the new CC Radio Plus, or get a free C. Crane catalog, 1-800-522-8863. And also on the web at ccradio.com.
You should listen to me very closely. Influential fund manager John Mersenu, I believe it is, of Fidelity, is encouraging general fluid managers to look again at gold equities. He believes that tech stocks are unlikely to make the big comeback that many U.S. investors are looking for, and may even contract some more. He is overweighing his position in gold as a hedge against market volatility. And Warren Buffett says investors shouldn't get their hopes up regarding what's going to go on with the market. You know, I say hope any way you want, but play it safe, baby. And playing it safe means a hedge against whatever happens in the market. Traditionally, when the market goes down, gold goes up. In fact, there's good recent proof that that is exactly what occurs. Actually, there's all of history to prove it. And so you hedge your bets. If you've got everything in the market, I think, in my opinion, you're crazy. I certainly would not ever do that, and I have made money with gold, and so can you. Look, call my sponsor. They will send you information you just won't believe. Or maybe you will believe it, and you should believe it, and you will act upon it, and it will save your butt. Anyway, it's worth the reading. Information is power and money. Call them. Lear Financial. The number is 1-800-474-4259. That's 1-800-474-4259.
Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with my guest, Mike Brown. Mike, let's talk before we go to the calls very quickly about the tabletop system, the Tesla system that you are developing. What kind of electrical power do you think you'll be able to spit out with that thing?
Electrical power per se?
Mm-hmm.
What I'm doing is I'm showing that the system that that I think he had would work, but like I told you earlier, I'm going to have to use a lightning simulator. In other words, I'm going to have to use something like a Van de Graaff generator or a Tesla coil, and the way I'm going to power that, quite frankly, is out of a wall socket. Like we said before, I don't particularly want to go outside and see if one of these things is going to work, because if it did, for me, it would only work once.
Simple as that. Let's go to the calls. First-time caller in Ontario. Andy, welcome to Coast. You're on the show.
Hi, Michael and George. There are a lot of creative people out there with ideas and plans of their inventions, and sometimes these people, those inventions are lost and forgotten because funding can't be found for them. I have a patent on a ring system helicopter, and I have some electronic chest displays. Some of the ideas I have that are not patented, I have a concept and that would a motor that runs on compressed air that could drive a small car, and also mechanisms for a system that diverts head-on collisions. But I haven't been able to get any funding for it yet, and I'm just wondering if you had some ideas.
Andy, you're not going to get any funding unless you have a working prototype.
Yes,
and even then, it's going to be hard. Because here's what you're up against. Most of these people that come out with these ideas that know stockbrokers and people like that, what happens is quite often you'll get some stockbroker or some stock brokerage house has absolutely no technological ability whatever, and they'll actually raise several million dollars for something that anybody who even understands the first law of thermodynamics can see is an absolute scam. See, what you have to compete with, and I had the same problem in the carburetor business, is not only do you have to have a working prototype, but you've got to compete with all the frauds out there. In fact, my advice is if you've got something, you build a working prototype, and you figure out how to do it, and you produce it yourself. That's what I've had to do.
I see. Yes, I could have built the helicopter back in the 70s, and you know, the Canadian government wasn't too interested. And when you're involved with bureaucrats, it seems that only the big corporations have the advantage, and they don't want to deal with someone.
Absolutely. Andy, let me ask you, do these come easy to you, inventions?
They do. I just sit back and dream, and I'm 70 now, and I said to my wife the other night, I said, I don't know where the time goes away. And she says, well, you just squandered it. That's where it went. But I sit back and dream, and I just enjoy it.
All right. Thanks for the call, Andy. Next up, wild card caller. You are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, good morning.
Yes.
I'm in Lexington, Kentucky, Mr. Brown.
Oh, really? John, great spot.
Did you happen to work at IBM?
No, I did not.
Okay. You know, you're just hitting on something that is so, so close to my heart. I, too, have created technology and had people pay me not to produce technology. And what you just told that gentleman was, I frankly didn't have that problem. But I wanted to talk to you about, you know, technology and what you were talking about, the Bible and old history and the Ark of the Covenant.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Art Bell interviewed some people, and I've been in contact with them, and these are the people that supposedly with the governments of Iraq that hold the information and all the riches of the Middle East, they supposedly have found where this object is. And I ironically stumbled into that by accident by lining up some astrological configurations on a -7 degrees, and we just happen to come in contact with one another. But I agree with you on that technology. But what I wanted to say to you is, you know, you're talking about old history and energies and people from other life that maybe have come to Earth and put things down. I agree with you on that. In fact, I'm looking at something right now that this was a battery that was constructed by Mesopotamia, and it was a primitive battery, and it is now 15 centuries old, and it was dated 15 centuries before Christ's birth.
Jeez.
And it's ancient electricity from 248 B.C., and it's held right now by the Iraqi Antiquities Department.
What do they use it for? For a light, perhaps?
Well, that's the problem. It's an electrical current that was being used 15 centuries ago, and they really don't know what it would do. But next to that, they found, and this is where they're going down into a pyramid,
uh-huh.
and they extracted this information along the way. And it's really odd how this whole thing worked out, but they also found a reconstruction of a calendar computer built by the Greeks in 65 B.C.
Jeez. Mike, have you heard of this before?
Yes, I've heard of both examples. I would suspect the battery was used for electroplating, and the computer he's referring to, I believe, was used for navigation. Now, the problem that we've got is that when the archaeologists start digging stuff up, have either one of you fellows ever read The Motel of the Mysteries by David McCullough?
I have not.
Okay, well, it's a hilarious book because, and I'll try to make this real brief, he postulates that 3,000 years after our civilization has ended in an atomic war, the archaeologists come along 3,000 years later, and they dig up this motel. And the first thing they come across is the sacred urn. And next to the sacred urn, they find the sacred collar. So they put this whole thing together that, okay, the high priest bows down before the sacred urn, and he's got the sacred collar around his neck. Well, what I'm actually referring to here, and what David McCauley is referring to in his book, is a toilet and a toilet seat. And that's what archaeologists do with things they don't understand. They religiosify them.
Next up, west of the Rockies, Phoenix, Arizona. Dennis, you're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen.
Yes, good morning.
This is really interesting.
As far as the Ark of the Covenant, there's a story, I don't remember which college it was, possibly MIT or Princeton. Some students actually, using the directions in the Bible as to how to build an Ark of the Covenant, did so. And soon after they built it, they had to take it apart because it was in danger of electrocuting them. And I don't remember which college. Someone might find it on the internet somewhere in a search engine, the story. Anyway, I have a question. Do you say that the Ark of the Covenant had cherubim with wheels?
No, no. What I said was the word cherubim is a word of uncertain derivation.
Oh, okay.
In other words, you could probably translate it gizmo. And what I was saying is that if you go to Ezekiel 10, there were cherubims listed there or described there that you can tell are not little babies with wings.
Right.
Because they've got wheels. I mean, they're machines. If you read the description, it's quite plain that the cherubim described in Ezekiel 10 are not only machines, they're rather large machines, and they're flying machines.
Oh, I see. Okay. Something like the, called, what do they call those, Vimana, in the Orient. Anyway, no, I find that, I was, wondering about just what you meant by that. Now, you might find the story of the Ark of the Covenant. That had normal static charges that it picked up. Ambient static was enough to kill a man, that this ark that they built at this university. So there's something very much to that as being a capacitor.
Well, you know, I think he's absolutely right. Dennis, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
You know, Mike, when you talk about the Bible, and you have to interpret, of course, as directions on how to build one of these. Exactly or precisely, what does it say?
Well, I'll tell you what, George, if I knew that, I'd have built one and I'd rule the planet.
I know you would have started.
No, the problem is that my Hebrew is not good enough. In fact, my Hebrew is basically, these days, it's confined to going through a Strong's Analytical Concordance of the Bible and trying to figure things out. Now, if you give me something simple, like if a woman wants to have a child who has the strength of Samson, I can tell you that one, that's real easy. But when you start building something as complicated as the Ark of the Covenant, quite frankly, you know, you're looking at something that even with somebody who was fluent in Hebrew and had an extensive background in electrical engineering or electronics,
sure,
probably takes several years.
I guess so. Let's go east of the Rockies, Gilman, Illinois. Walter, you're on Coast to Coast. Good morning, Walter.
Good morning.
Yes,
anyway,
sir.
I'm going to talk about this one gentleman who's driving around in a 46 Cadillac that was a hearse, you know, and he had a big sign on it where he had a carburetor where it would do 60 miles an hour or 60 miles per gallon. Anyway, it was a weird-looking thing. It was like operated off of a... how would you say, impellers inside of it. And he finally decided to where it still wasn't giving enough mileage, so he redesigned the cylinder heads to where they had, oh, like vanes where the air would combust each other, or bump into each other.
Sure.
And it got to the point where the heat would melt the, what they call the valves, you know. So finally he had to put titanium valves, and when he finally put them in there, he could run anything from a mixture of 50-50 of, you know, old used oil or gasoline or kerosene or whatever thing that would burn. And I was underneath his car one day adjusting his brakes, and I was only 20 years old. And two men, one from Shell Oil Company and one from Standard Oil, were offering him like $1 million to take that carburetor away from him and all the plans and designs. And all of a sudden, when I went back there a few weeks later, after he developed that, there, you know, new titanium valves and everything, he was getting 80 miles to the gallon, this old 46 hearse. And finally, he just disappeared, and nobody ever found him again. The carburetor was gone, and all of his papers were gone. And he had a big sign on his car where he was advertising it, you know. And it was a humongous thing, because... the impellers were running at a, like on a rheostat when he would push harder, the veins would go faster. They would go up to 7,200 RPMs.
That's an amazing story.
Build it.
Amazing story. Ever hear that one, Michael?
I've heard stories similar to it. I can believe that he had something that would atomize fuel like that. I'm a little skeptical about 60 or 80 miles per gallon.
Did Tesla ever put tubes in a car, in an automobile, something, and drive it around a small little town with really no fuel in it? Somebody has sent me an email and said that he had thought that had occurred.
Well, I've read almost everything he wrote over his lifetime, and I've never come across anything like that.
Did he ever believe that he was being spoken to from people from another planet or anything like that?
I kind of doubt it. I never came across anything that he wrote that said that. Now, there are other people who wrote books about him, like Nikola Tesla and the Venusian X-12 and that sort of thing. But Tesla himself was pretty much down to earth.
Okay, let's go up to first-time caller in New York City, Laszlo. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, Michael, on such a straight. It was July 4th, 1917 that Wardenclyffe Tower was knocked down. It was Douglas fir. It was only steel on the mushroom head top. And that was Mr. Bolt Castle up in St. Lawrence Seaway. He owned the Waldorf Astoria, back hotel bills for Nikola Tesla. And about the pipes going into the ground, it was 300 feet down. And it was to use the tower as a creator of lightning to broadcast, if you will, communication around the world. And it's the radio that we're speaking on that was just one of his most known inventions. Okay, so don't go tell me about Marconi. Go, you're talking about being an expert on Nikola Tesla. All I want to do is go have another Nabisco cracker after I listen to your nonsense.
Well, I'm going to let you respond to that, Mike.
Well, there's, you know, it's real easy to criticize. It's a little, excuse me, it's a little more difficult to actually build something. And as far as what he's saying, that being a wooden framework, that might have been the frame that he was using to construct it. But the photographs I saw were of a steel tower.
Well, and with that steel tower, he was obviously trying to create or harness something.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, the thing about radio doesn't make any sense because Marconi had stolen that from him years before. I mean, by the time the Titanic went down, they had radios in every ship out there. So, like I said, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Well, you know, there's no question that theories such as what Tesla has done are kicked around by a number of people. Do they get stolen at all, where people then try to say, this was my idea, things that occurred years ago?
Well, actually, it's been my experience. You can't give it away. In fact, you can go mine the patent office, and I've done that. For example, there was a guy named George Arlington Moore, about the same time of Tesla. This guy had 500 more patents than Thomas Edison. He solved air pollution before anybody knew what it was, and nobody's ever heard of him.
But no,
he couldn't give it away. He had a thing called a Dynintro that, unlike an EGR valve, it actually worked. And I saw in fact, I had a book that I printed years and years ago. I don't print it anymore. Don't even have a copy. Titled The Works of George Arlington Moore. And the introduction was the reports from the laboratory at Yale showing this guy had cut down automotive emissions in 1926 by about 98%. And back then, nobody even knew what an emission was.
I get a kick out of this. I got an email that says that the fellow's grandfather had one of the original fish carburetors in his car.
Oh,
that's a long time ago.
Well, I can believe that because the original company from 1947 to 1959 made about 125,000 of them.
How big were they? I mean, how tall were they?
Oh, about 4.5 inches, and then you had an adapter plate. They weren't very big. They only weighed about 2 pounds.
They're much smaller than the carburetors were of today's day, before the fuel injectors.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the ones that we made, you can see them on our website. If you put them up against one of the four-barrel monstrosities, four barrels, about 4 or 5 times the size of a fish carburetor, but on a motorhome,
This carburetor would smoke it every time.
That is just unbelievable. Stay with us. We're going to continue our dialogue. We're going to keep the phone lines open for you for the next 30 minutes. My guest is Mike Brown. And again, if you want some more information on Mr. Brown, all you have to do is go to Art's website, click on program, click on tonight's guest, and voila, there he is. You'll be able to get his website. We're linked. Keith Rowland has linked it right up on Art's website, so you'll be able to do that very easily. And we will be back with more of your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM.
Message from County Executive Jack Doyle.
Competitive air service is one of the most important components to bring jobs into a community. That's why AirTran Airways is such a welcome addition to the Greater Rochester International Airport. With the addition of AirTran, JetBlue, and other existing air service, Monroe County travelers are getting lower fares, more convenience, and flight options. Remember, when you fly to or from the Greater Rochester International Airport, you help strengthen our local economy, and that means greater job opportunities for everyone. Now more than ever, whether for business or vacation, flying from Monroe County is a great value. Our shuttle service, our 30-minute free short-term parking, and Zoom Lane also make your flying experience more convenient. Thank you, AirTran Airways, for bringing your quality services to the Greater Rochester International Airport, where business and leisure travelers get more low-fare choices.
Give me a frosty root beer and a sizzling hot brown steak.
Alan Harris here for Tom Walls. $104,832. That's how much money Tom Walls could save each year by switching to the same kind of machine-pressed burgers most other places use. That's amazing. What didn't amaze me is Tom Walls has no intention of ever making that switch. They still press every fresh-made burger by hand with a glass pie plate, just the way Tom himself did it when he started in 1955. It's no wonder that Tom Walls continues to grow with new locations in Batavia and Canandaigua and a newly remodeled Avon store. Tom Walls keeps growing because they never cut corners when it comes to quality. So remember, you can probably buy a burger for 49 cents somewhere else, but then you'd have to eat it.
Give me a frosty root beer and a Tom Walls ground steak.
Tom Walls, not fast food. Great food, serve fast.
This is Mark Congdon of the Horizon Group with a thought about the stock market. Daily, I see people who are frightened by important investment decisions. Who can blame them? From Enron and Global Crossing to declines in Kodak and Xerox, losses are everywhere. The NASDAQ is still 60% below its high. I'm here to say things aren't as bad as they seem. The recession may be over and the economy is definitely improving. Lower interest rates and energy prices are providing more cash for us to spend. And the Federal Reserve has masterfully kept the decline in stocks and the events of 9/11 from causing a meltdown. It's never easy to see your statements drop in value, but volatility is the price of admission to the only place where your money can truly grow over time. Now more than ever is the time to be working with an experienced financial planner. It's easier to face uncertainty armed with a written plan, diversified portfolio, and a sharp advisor by your side. We can help. Call the Horizon Group at 334-3600. That's 334-3600, or call into our radio show Sunday mornings at 7 right here on WHAM. Securities offered through Cattery Grant, member NASD.
In these times, you can't afford to wait to read about it tomorrow when you need to know now. Lock in the news leader. News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Here is WHAM's radar weather for Rochester and Western New York. Patchy cloudiness, breezy, cooler overnight with a little fog in the valleys, the low 40 in town, 30s elsewhere. Wednesday will start off with some clouds and fog, but later in the day and on again onto Thursday, plenty of sunshine and turning out very pleasant. Comfortably cool on Wednesday, the high 50 to 55 with afternoon temperatures in the 40s near Lake Ontario. Milder on Thursday, the high 60, cooler again lakeside. We'll head towards 70 on Friday. This is WHAM's Kevin Williams.
Rochester's news leader,
driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
Please welcome the multi-talented, the original Mr. Big Shot,
Bob Lonsberry.
You ain't heard nothing yet.
Three robins I've been watching in our tree outside the window.
The great thing about them is you hit them with a 12-gauge, and it just like their little feathers. You get chunks of robin meat all over.
You're a horrible man.
That's why they call him Robin Redbreast, you know. I love that guy. When I hear his voice, I get a little tingle in the pit of my stomach, or near there.
Bob Lonsberry, weekdays, 11 till 2, on News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Coast to Coast AM from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George at area code 541-665-0520. And the wildcard line is open at area code 541-665-0521. Now, here again is George Norrie.
Well, I don't know if our telekinesis experiment worked or not. The little styrofoam did move in a little circle, and then it stopped, and it hasn't moved since. And there's no reason why it should have moved unless all of you had thought about it and made it move. So I'm not going to say it was a success, but I'm not going to say yet that it was a failure. But we'll try it again some other time. The After Dark newsletter, if you are a fan of Coast to Coast, you should be subscribing. If you are not, you are missing something. 1-888-727-5505 is the After Dark newsletter phone number. You can call and order and say, hey, I heard about this on Coast to Coast. I get two free issues, right? 14 for the price of 12. A great deal. And this is more than a newsletter. It's called the After Dark newsletter, but it's more than that. Because it's color, it's like a magazine. And like I have said before, if you add up all the magazines that you buy every year, you could save a lot of money and enjoy yourself more by getting the After Dark newsletter. 1-888-727-5505. When I return, we'll have more of your phone calls with my guest Michael Brown on Coast to Coast AM. So if you've ever wanted a real astronomical telescope, now's the time to do it. Hardin Optical Company is offering the Bushnell 6-inch Voyager Astronomical Telescope for, get this, just $299 plus shipping and handling. Now, this great telescope will take you beyond those department store toys to the craters on the moon, those gorgeous rings of Saturn, even deep space star clusters. Now you can have that real astronomical telescope you've always wanted. All you have to do is call 1-877-447-4847. It's toll-free, and you can order yours while the quantities last. Or check it out on the web, and I'm going to spell it for you. ForTheNightSky.com, ForTheNightSky. ForTheNightSky.com. That's right, a real astronomical telescope for just $299 plus shipping and handling. And this telescope is big, really big. It comes with its own special base, sets up quickly, is very easy to use. And see for yourself the moon, the planets, and explore the night sky with discoveries that have changed mankind forever. Call 1-877-447-4847, toll free, or order online at ForTheNightSky.com.
Spring is in the air, and so are the savings. Right now, you can save on a spring car care package at Gemini. For just $35, you'll get an oil change, complete tire rotation, brake evaluation, battery inspection, and more. You'll also find low prices on a wide selection of popular tires, including Goodyear. May 31st is your last chance to get Gemini's spring car care package. Dial 1-877-GEMINI-1 for complete details and the participating retailer nearest you. Then zip into Gemini and save.
I love you.
Do you know if you qualify for the Earned Income Tax Credit? Well, if you have kids, you should find out. Because it's for people who earn around $32,000 or less, have kids, and meet some other rules. If you qualify, you could pay less tax, no tax, or even get a refund. To find out if you qualify, visit the IRS website at www.irs.gov or ask your tax preparer about it. A message from the Internal Revenue Service, working to put service first.
Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, Technology and Inventions. My guest, Mike Brown. Let's go right back to the calls now. Wildcard caller on the road in Indiana. Mark, you're on Coast to Coast. You made it. Hi, Mark.
Hey, good morning, George.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Brown. How are you this morning?
Pretty good. And yourself?
Wonderful.
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I was wondering if you could help me out. I got a 67 Mustang GT350, and I'm fiddling around with a carburation on it. And right now what I have is a series of tubes and two pieces of C-channel that makes the airflow smoother. And the problem I'm running into, I mean, I've tried everything, but I'm getting too much power out of it. You know, I was fiddling around trying to, you know, have this real powerful 390 motor and still get, you know, fairly decent fuel economy. So I started fiddling around getting the fuel mixture thinner and spacer plates and different kinds of air breathers and stuff like that, and eventually I got to these two pieces of C-channel with the tubing inside of it. And what the problem is now is my power has gone to the point where, well, really, I can't control it. I mean, the car sits parked almost year-round until I can get this figured out.
You've got that much power there now?
Oh, yeah, I can't keep the front wheels on the ground.
Jeez.
Every time the car shifts, the wheels lift off.
That sounds like something everybody would love to have.
Yeah, he's complaining.
Well, I mean, it's a great problem, don't get me wrong. No one can beat me, but the thing is every time the car comes down, I'm white as a ghost.
So what do you want to do? You want to just minimize that power?
Well, I want to be able to cut the power down but still keep my fuel economy. I mean, right now I'm getting about, I have a 20-gallon tank, you know, stock tank on the car.
Sure.
And right now I'm getting about almost 500 miles out of it.
Well, Mike, you're Mr. Carburetor. What does he do?
Well, he could put a smaller engine in it. I mean, a 390
well,
in a
Mustang. Well,
a 390
I've tried putting my fiddle faddle on a four-cylinder, but the thing is I blow the heads off of it. I can't get the heads to stay on a four-cylinder.
Well, I don't think, Mike, he wants to put a smaller engine in it.
Well, I don't really... I can't quite figure out what the problem is here. I mean, that's like saying, you know, you've got too much money, he's got too much power.
All right, I guess we can't help you on that, Mark. He's got too much power on that car. I mean, but how do you make a car not as powerful? How do you do that?
Well, there's all sorts of things you can do. Retard the timing, for one. If you really want to make a car act like a dog, just make sure you have no timing, and it'll never go faster than 15 miles an hour.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to do that. Let's go to west of the Rockies in Los Angeles, California. Bob, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Bob.
Well, hi, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
I almost fell over when I heard Mr. Brown talking about a fish carburetor.
I have
two of them sitting in my garage. I put them on my brother's 58 Buick Century, and that thing would chirp wheels when you hit passing gear at 60 mile an hour. They're fantastic.
Yeah.
But one thing I wanted to talk about was some of the inventions that have been squelched. I don't know if you remember a guy by the name of Smitty down in Florida with his so-called homogenizer.
No, I don't.
What was that?
Well, what he did was he took and he heated gasoline up to 700 degrees, drove off the vapor, passed it through a several stages of a turbine blades to kind of blend it with the air.
Uh-huh.
Then raised it up to 900 degrees, and then he passed it through a high-intensity, very strong magnetic field. And the pressure that was created, he would inject it at the right vapor and air ratio into the cylinders, into a heated intake manifold.
Okay.
And he was getting something like 85 to 90 miles per gallon on a 1964 or 1965 Oldsmobile 98.
Gosh, whatever happened to Smitty, Bob?
Smitty was trying to sell it. The Japanese were interested in it, but his patent, they just wouldn't let him manufacture it. In other words, they squelched him just like they squelched the guy. Sounds like, Mr. Brown, you were in the 1970s, the late 70s, when a whole bunch of us engineers were playing around with this stuff. And there was another guy by the name, I forget his name, and what he was doing was he was using a solar cell in his window of his kitchen and some distilled water, and he was making hydrogen and a hydride, and he'd put it into his Jeep, and he was so frustrated with the government because they came out and said, oh, alternative fuels, and everybody was looking for alternative fuels, and he actually threatened to drive it up the steps of the Congress, which he did. He took it back there because they wouldn't do anything. They wouldn't help him out, and they were turning their backs on him. And the guy lived in Culver City out here in California,
uh-huh.
And he did drive the Jeep up the steps of the Congress. And after that, it showed him on the news. They covered it twice out here in the L.A. area. I think it was Channel 9. And then the man disappeared. Never saw him again.
There's another case where they just disappear.
He just disappeared.
What do you think happened to him?
I have no idea. But the gasohol, I remember in 1979, because myself and a couple of other engineers, we were trying to buy up some old abandoned gas stations along the coast and reconvert them for alcohol and have alcohol stations.
Sure.
To run alcohol cars. And lo and behold, in 1979, there was a meeting in San Diego. They had a big agribusiness convention. And out of that meeting, they were going to start producing the stuff. Within 2 months after that meeting, Congress passed a law whereby you could not transport gas or this alcohol across state lines. You could make it, you could grow it, but you could only use it within your state.
So that killed that plan.
That killed us and killed our whole operation that we were going to set up.
Mike, once again, another situation where people disappear when they come up with interesting inventions or suppression. And it seems like, Mike, it happens time and time again. Can anything be done about this?
Well, yeah, it can. Now, there's a couple of the first couple of things he said, quite frankly, I'm a little skeptical about. But this last thing that he brought up about the chain of alcohol fueling stations.
Right.
I remember reading about that in the 70s. In fact, Bob, did you ever read Brown's Alcohol Motor Fuel Cookbook?
Well, I'm sure he did if he was in that business.
Okay. Well, yeah, that I'd heard of. But you got to remember, a lot of these things that are supposedly suppressed are actually fraud. So you really have to look at each one individually and say, okay, let's see if it violates the first law of thermodynamics. Does it violate the law of balanced chemical equations? And if it doesn't violate any known science, then there's a possibility that it works. For example, and I'll try to make this real brief, I'm sure you've heard it's kind of an urban legend about the guy who buys a brand new car, and it runs like a scalded dog, and it gets better, like 50% better gas mileage,
uh-huh.
And he takes it back to the dealer, and the dealer has it for 3 days. When he gets it back, it's a dog. Have you heard those stories?
Yeah, I always hear those stories.
They're true, because all they did was they just put 16-to-1 pistons in the engine, and they ground the cam so that the intake valve stayed open halfway through the compression stroke, so you had 8-to-1 compression, 16-to-1 expansion, runs like a diesel, sounds like a diesel, and gets the same fuel economy as a diesel does.
Why would they do that?
Why would they do what?
Do all that work to his car like that?
Well, no. Well, see, what they do is every once in a while, one of these experimental vehicles will get out with this same system.
Ah.
In fact, Larry Kendell, the guy who taught this system to me, he's a mechanical engineer. When he taught it to me, we actually built some engines like this. And we had, for example, a Ford truck that was getting 15. We took it to 23, and at 4,000 RPM, the thing was self-supercharging. And every morning, Larry would come down from upstairs and say, Mike, this is too simple. Somebody's already done this.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, one of my Fish carburetor customers in San Diego sent me the pages from a 1909 automotive engineering handbook describing this exact system.
Jeez. Jeez. First time caller out in Pacific Grove, California. Marv, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there, Marv.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah.
A couple things. One is that guy was talking about that article in the paper about what college, where they built that model.
Well, the Ark of the Covenant, right.
Yeah, that was Stanford.
Stanford,
oh, really?
University,
yeah.
Okay.
And it was back probably 15, 18 years ago. And they had to destroy it because it was dangerous. But they built it and came up with the assumption that it was a battery. And that's as far as they got with it.
And Michael, you think it was a capacitor, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just telling you what they... I have a book here called Nikola Tesla's Earthquake Machine.
He's got an earthquake machine, too?
That's
they,
what I...
They call it... Well, that's the short for it. It's actually an oscillator.
Yeah,
and it's got the blueprints and the patent on it.
Yeah, that's probably correct, because if you'll recall earlier, I was describing a machine he developed that vibrated to help people with constipation.
Yeah.
That's when it started shaking the building.
Mm.
Yeah, so okay.
They've got that story out of the New York Times, New York World Telegraph, Telegram, right in the very beginning of the book, on the first page, what the interview he gave a reporter and what happened. But they've got a thing in here that's called telegeodynamics. And what he's talking about is running sound through the middle of the earth. And it struck me as reading Casey a long time ago about Atlantis, when he said that they use crystals to get, to fly airplanes, setting up a vibration. And the problem is that it went into the earth and caused, a huge disruption, which caused the polar shift. And Tesla goes into just about doing the same thing, except using an oscillator rather than a crystal.
Jeez, the guy must have been simply incredible. Simply incredible.
Maybe he was reborn from Atlantis or something.
Who knows? Who knows? Thanks for the call. Let's go east of the Rockies, outside of Philadelphia. Tom, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi, Tom.
Great show, George. Hi.
Thanks.
Michael, excellent. I was browsing in a bookstore a couple months ago, and I could kick myself for not picking up this book, but it was about these suppressed inventions. And I hope I'm on the right track, because this is in the medical field.
Okay.
But back in the 30s, there was this brilliant doctor who got the notion that most diseases were caused by viruses, but at the time they had no microscopic equipment to really dwell in on them. And this guy built the biggest microscope ever. It was huge. People came from all over the world to look at it. The guy got all kinds of honors, so on and so forth, dinners. He went on to use his studies in viruses to create some type of non-invasive curing machine. And I wish I could remember the theory it operated under. But they were curing terminally ill cancer patients, people with all kinds of other diseases, and so on and so forth. Thousands of machines out there to doctors. Big business, the government did him in, and he was sort of like the dinner stopped in the honors. And all the machines were pulled. Years later, there were a few doctors that came out and said that they hung on to those machines and continued to cure thousands of people, terminal cancers and so forth. And I was wondering if you ever heard about this. The major corporation is still in existence that had something that they're working on similar.
What a great story.
I wonder if you ever heard of anything of this or had any just reaction to the greed we're talking about tonight.
Well, and lots of greed indeed. Mike, first of all, have you ever heard of this specific story?
Yes, I believe he's referring to Royal Rife and the Rife microscope. And Rife also had a transmitter. People call it the Rife machine these days.
Mm-hmm.
And basically it worked like the Lakowski multiple wave oscillator. The difference was is that where the multiple wave oscillator translates a whole, or literally transmits a whole series of frequencies all at once, the Rife frequency machine or generator or transmitter, whatever you want to call it, would only transmit one frequency at a time. And it was a transmitter, not a transformer. There's a lot of people today that are claiming to sell Rife machines, but anything that you actually have to make physical contact with is not a radio transmitter. It's a transformer, which is sort of the technological equivalent of an electric blanket and a frequency multiplier from Radio Shack. But yeah, well, the story he's telling I've heard.
Okay, wildcard caller, Quebec, Canada. Kevin, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi, Kevin.
Good evening, gentlemen. Yes. Mr. Velma, I got to be quick. I grew up in Lake Beauport, Beauport, which is north of Quebec City, just south of Montreal, okay?
Uh-huh.
North of Montreal, sorry, Quebec City, okay? And there was an urban legend. There was this Mr. Matthews who lived across the street from us, and the rumor was, at the time when I was growing up, and I was 5, 6, 7 years old, that he was communicating with extraterrestrials. There was an urban legend we had in our town, okay? Later, in 1987, it was probably 85, maybe a bit earlier, I was 13 years old at the time, we actually got into his home, and we broke into some of his letters. I brought some of them home, and he was talking about his good friend, Mr. Tesla. So I was wondering if there was any link between Tesla and extraterrestrial communications.
Well, there have been some talk, Mike, that Tesla... Now, this was written about him. And again, like you say, he never admitted this. But some of the things I've seen show that he may have been in communications with people on another planet, extraterrestrials. And have you heard that?
I've heard it. And the fact is, neither one of us can prove it or disprove it.
No, we can't. Absolutely can't. And, you know, they're stories written by other people. And who knows if they made them up or not. Because I have never seen anything in any of Tesla's work, and I think you would agree that he claims to have had any kind of contact like that.
No, he himself, I don't believe, ever made those claims.
All right.
Then again, maybe he didn't. Maybe he did have those visits and didn't want to get put in the loony bin.
Maybe they were giving him all these plans that he had. Who knows? Who knows? As you look at technology today, what's the one thing, if you could change, fix, bring out to the public, what would it be? Let me pick your brain for a minute.
Okay, the first thing I would do is I'd try to keep our farms from hemorrhaging. We've lost 75% of them in the last 30 years. And Donald Espain pointed out the solution. If the farmers were allowed the fuel business instead of the oil companies,
mm-hmm.
You'd be amazed at how prosperous this country would get.
Absolutely. Hey, how did Tesla die, by the way, Mike?
Old age.
Just old age.
Just old age. You're just tired, worn out, broken heart.
Broken heart. Hey, thanks, Mike.
Thanks,
Mike Brown. And again, just go to Art Bell's website, click on program, click on tonight's guest, and get the information on Mike Brown's website. Art's webmaster, Keith Rowland, so skillfully links them together. I'm George Norrie. I'm sitting in for Art. He should be back on our show just ahead. For Will Hilliard, Rondi Bussinger, Lisa Lyon, Delani Conrad, Howard Morton, and Alan Corbett, I'm George Norrie. I'll see you on my Sunday night show on Coast to Coast AM.